following is a Red Shovel Network production. The Red Shovel Network consists of The Drew Mag Show, Child of the Duff's No Bullshit News, Emma Eric's Soul of Detroit, and No Filter Sports and shit. Enjoy the following Red Shovel Network production.
Hey, what's poppin'? It's the DealsInTheD.com studios and another Drew and Mike show recorded for Wednesday. And so far, Tom Mazzaway not in the house.
Yeah, I'm on pins and needles here.
But Mark Brennan and Joey are all here. Maz got some problems with the girls as Abby's got some kind of really crazy virus, but I think they got it.
An infection.
They got it kind of worked out. And then
still sounds very serious, though.
It was very serious. Yeah, I was really upset.
Yeah,
I'm sure the parents and the kids all were. And then just when that's starting to turn the corner, I guess Lily hit her head in gym class, and so they were just making sure she didn't have a concussion. So anyway, he may be along later. He did book Dan Wetzel.
Oh, all right.
Who's been covering the Kellen Winslow Jr. trial? Five women who were either raped or he masturbated in front of a 78-year-old in a hot tub.
Yep. The other one, I think he masturbated just like in the garden.
And those are the ones that they've decided to charge him with. There's other stuff about him. This guy is crazy.
Yep.
I mean, he is nuts. A girl came back from his teen years who said that she pulled something with him, I think when she was 16 years old, he was 18, where she was interested in him, and they were goofing around, and she said the door opened, and she said, "Oh, somebody's coming," and he said, "Oh, that's my friend. Is it okay if he watches?"
Oh no!
What? She was very upset and said, "No, absolutely not. I'm out of here."
What a creep!
And then a year later, when she was 17, she ran into Kellen Winslow Jr. again with a friend of his, who she named, by the way, and they were going to a house party. And they talked her into going, and I guess she went. And they get to this place, and she said, "I didn't see anyone in the house."
Ew.
So it was not a house party. They go in. She said she'd had three beers, which is about her limit. And she said she kind of blacked out. And when she woke up, Kellen Winslow was having sex with her from behind.
Oh,
and
boy.
His buddy was trying to put his penis in her mouth.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Wow.
I know. That's
surprised he got away with that for so long.
She was afraid of him. She said he was a superstar athlete, and she thought nobody's going to believe her.
He'd be at Miami by then.
Yeah.
Was he part of the Seventh Floor crew?
At Miami?
Remember the Seventh Floor crew that had the rap?
Ugh.
It was so bad.
Whatever. College football is such a joke to me.
I just think that Miami was a little loose. Miami Hurricanes.
I think the whole thing's pretty loose.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Yeah, I don't know if I'd want to be on the seventh floor of that dorm.
So is that something they released?
It was a huge hit, number one, at least in the South.
I mean, was that played?
What's his name from Two Live Crew?
Oh, Luke Campbell.
Luke Campbell produced it.
So
yes, Brian Greger.
Put out the Miami football team.
No, they didn't put it out. No, not for real.
Sounds like a number one hit tune already.
But Brian Greger's right. Jeremy Shockey was definitely. He was probably the tight end on the seventh floor crew, not Kellen Winslow.
Well, they definitely have a knack for music. I wonder if they're still together.
I don't know. Maybe they're still on the seventh floor.
Anyway, this trial is infuriating me because...
Oh, Greg Olson, too, yeah. Okay.
His father is Kellen Winslow Sr., of course. And between the two of them, they have lots and lots of money. And they apparently have purchased a very expensive defense team. And they are vigorously defending this by trashing the victims, which is how it's done.
Yeah.
In fact, Kellen Winslow was quoted as saying, it's about a lot of money. In other words, they're all making this up to get money. Which, how does that work, by the way?
Well, especially when they're transients and homeless women. How much money do they, well, okay, no, I guess maybe that's why. But how much resources?
Yeah, but they have not received any money.
He doesn't have that much money, does he?
They're not going to get any money. Actually, I think he'd be delighted to give them money to make the charges go away. So it's actually the opposite. He probably wishes he could give them money so they would shut up, like a non-disclosure.
Does he have a lot of money?
He made a lot of money. I don't know what he has, but...
Remember when he was busted with the jar of Vaseline?
Yeah, that's not even one of the charges.
Well,
that's a woman who called the cops and said, this guy's beating off in his car when I walked by to go to the mall.
Yeah,
and
that was back in Cleveland. That was a long time ago.
There are a few other stories like that. So, I don't know, this story is maddening because his family says, oh, this is insane. He didn't do any of this, and we will vigorously defend it. He changes his appearance completely for the trial, so it's harder for them. Anyway, we'll wait till Dan Wetzel to get into a little more of the meat. He's been covering the trial for Yahoo. And we've had Dan on before. Dan's one of those guys, if he's on a case, I'm delighted to talk to him because you know you're going to get some good coverage.
He had a lot of great information on the Aaron Hernandez trials.
Yeah, he killed that. He sure did. And he's a local guy, too. He's from Birmingham, and he's done really well for himself. Got quite a presence out
there.
He's
writing kid books right now, too.
Is he really?
Great guy.
Yeah. Can you imagine the juxtaposition, Aaron Hernandez, Kellen Winslow trial? Kid books.
Yeah, it might bring you back to earth a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, if you cover enough of this stuff, I think you go out of your mind. I got to tell you, all this PC crap, we talked about it before the show, it makes me crazy. It's like, I don't even want to know some of this stuff. I'd be better off.
I apologize.
I feel like I have to know.
I needed to talk to somebody about it.
Yeah. No, I feel the same way. When I run into it, I generally feel the same way. But anyway, the patio is open at Mesa Tacos and Tequilas. They bring you Facebook. We're live on Facebook. And, John says, hello, Dimples.
Oh, God.
It's actually, good morning, Dimples. Can you guys check her Instagram, see if there's any new gross posts? Not her. She looks great.
Hers are beautiful.
But the people posting are so creepy. Should we inform her? Seems to me somebody needs to let her know there's some real
I don't want to be the one to inform
creepy
her.
People on her Instagram page. But, you know, you'd have to inform almost every hot chick in the world who's on Instagram.
Isn't that part of Instagram's terms?
What?
That there's going to be creeps that are going to comment on
her
photos.
Should be. Anyway, Mesa's on Main Street in Royal Oak. The patio's open. It's busy as hell because it's a great place to go when the weather gets warm. And they've got the 150 tequilas, great Mexican food, fresh, and 10% off. Mention Drew and Mike at Mesa.
Yes.
Some of them are good.
What are they saying?
Well, I mean, she posts a picture. I think she posts one, I don't know, maybe once every day or two. And, of course, they're always going to be great pictures.
She's careful. You're boner.
She's got a new one. And, of course, the comments.
I'm in love.
Oh, you're so beautiful. Yeah.
All you needed was a straw.
Beautiful as always.
Good morning, Dimples.
It's got to be on there. Gorgeous smile.
Is that an angel? No, that's the beautiful Anne-Marie.
Oh, click on him. Click on him. I want to see.
Is that an angel?
I would have guessed.
You know, that guy, he's probably in like a 30-year marriage, 40-year marriage.
you think that guy?
Come on, you people. What's wrong with you? This is not going to pay off for you.
What
do you think she's going to go? Oh, my God, I'm so flattered. I want to get in touch with him. Oh, you're so sweet.
What is all the ranch comments?
The other picture is a big tub of ranch.
Ew. Gross.
That does look gross. I don't want any ranch out of that giant. I don't like giant tubs of any kind of food.
No, not at all. And ranch, highly overrated.
Anne-Marie, with a huge side of ranch dressing. This would complete me.
God, that's disgusting.
It gives you a boner.
She's cute.
Patty P. want to know who you were flipping off, Brandon.
I was flipping somebody off.
Were you flipping? Was Brandon flipping someone off? Is Patty
I don't
P.
know.
Are you messing with me, Patty P?
Mm.
Pete says, Maz on vacation. Imagine that. No, Maz has got an issue.
Yeah.
He'll be here later, I think.
We don't know. He may. He might not.
Lily hit her head. She's okay. No alarm.
What was she playing? Do we know what she was playing?
I think she might have been playing volleyball in gym class or something.
Ooh. Ooh.
Those drops are so good. Come on, some more comments. Get back to that page, Anne-Marie LaFlamme's page. It absolutely, people get so fired up. I think it lights a fire under everyone when they see the excitement that she generates with these posts.
Boners, too. Boners all over, yeah, there's especially a lot of boners in the morning. Yeah.
I might listen in. He says, I came for the ranch but stayed for the comments.
Whatever.
You know, there's erections that men get in the morning just because they have to pee.
I don't think Mr. Dimples is getting that kind of an erection.
I haven't heard that drop.
Isn't she great?
So
you know, there's erections that men get in the morning just because they have to pee.
It's like she was notifying us guys something we didn't know.
Brandon, who are you flipping off?
I don't know. I don't remember.
Somebody says you flashed. You did flash the thumbs up.
It must be.
Wait, Brandon is flipping people off again.
I apologize. I don't think I was flipping anybody off here.
I think you were flipping someone off on Facebook Live.
You were?
Oh, no, I don't see the Facebook Live comments. Okay. I can't see those.
Okay. All right. So. More comments? Any more comments?
They're just really positive.
They cleaned up there. Yeah, well, let's hear some of the positive comments. I love Marianne.
Oh, the person you love should also encourage you.
You mean Anne-Marie? Did you call her Marianne?
Marianne? Yeah, I think people call her Marianne. Yeah. People that are more closer to her. More closer.
Looking good, beautiful.
Not closer. Marianne. People that are more closer to her.
Yeah, closer. Hey, she's distracting, Drew. I understand.
She is.
What a beautiful lady.
It's funny because I click on it and it's the same
thing. Oh, look at that dude. Wait,
that guy's back.
Oh, can we see his other posts?
Wait, no, isn't it scary? If this guy's on every post saying, gorgeous, what a beautiful lady. Isn't that weird?
Yes, go back to him, Brandon. Maybe don't put him on Facebook Live just in case, but go back to him real quick. I just want to see what else he's got going on. Looking good. That was someone's comment.
What? Takes a bunch of selfies.
He's got six pictures, five are selfies from very low angles.
Why does he take selfies?
That's flattering. What is that?
Do you think he's hot?
Oh, and then a thing about his mom. He loves his mom. Oh, boy. Do you think his mom loves his comments he leaves for?
No, mom would be attractive appalled.
Women. His comments aren't that bad. He's just saying she's pretty.
I got a boner.
That guy is beating off to Anne-Marie LaFlamme in the morning.
All right, look for some more comments. If there aren't any more, I was just going to get us ahead on the spots because I think Dan's coming on
already?
Second now. If you know who our friends are and studio sponsor at Zot Ford, do you know who our friends and studio sponsors at Zot Ford and Holly and DealsInTheD.com love the most? They love you, the Drew and Mike podcast listeners. That's who. For every reason, Maz, Gary, Gabar, and the entire Zot Ford team love making your experience the ultimate in world-class fun and excitement. Keep in mind, Zot doesn't just sell new cars, trucks, and SUVs. They sell certified, pre-owned, and previously loved used vehicles as well. Plus, Zot Ford's parts and service department is ready and waiting to save all of our listeners 10% off their next visit to Holly. So that's something to think about. And don't forget to take a selfie with their life-size Hulk Hogan statue in the showroom. Now, that's what would jump out at me in that copy. The Hulk Hogan statue.
It's pretty impressive.
It's big, too.
Take a ride in the leather massage chairs. Or sip some fresh brewed coffee, or snack on their hot movie-style popcorn, or kibitz with Maz while Gary figures your deal out. Moral of the story, no matter how you slice it, Zot Ford loves our listeners and their customers. And everybody over there, Maz, when has he not waived a commission? I mean, honestly, I don't think he's been paid yet.
Rich Kramer wants to know, when's Gary coming in? When is it his day? I mean, you get a fill-in for Tom today.
You know, Maz
love you, Gary!
If Gary is out as often as Maz, maybe we could have them fill in for each other, and that way they'd both be on a lot.
You don't get to be Gary. The personal sales manager by taking days off.
No, that's true. Zot Ford loves our listeners and their customers. Go visit them and tell them that any or all of us, sent you. Summer's here. Time to enjoy sun and fun. You're still stuck with your contacts, glasses, and dreaded reading glasses, but Dr. Yaldo, our great Red Shovel sponsor, is here to set you free, as he has nearly 100 of you, our great and loyal listeners. He's done 30,000 LASIK procedures. Most of anyone in Michigan has the most advanced technology in the world of eye surgery. Now, there's been a lot of misinfo about the safety and cost of LASIK. It's one of the safest of all medical procedures. His CATS custom LASIK is the world's most precise, delivers amazing results like better than 20/20 in most cases. And the multifocal lens implants for people like Eli, 45+, got those problems. Get rid of reading glasses for good. The technology produces precision vision few could have ever hoped to experience. And the cost, don't believe the $299 hype. There's some very low-cost LASIK being advertised.
Really?
It's not exactly
accurate.
They're
doing it in a van? I don't like know. The dentist.
Maybe, yeah, like the speakers they give away. They kind of run around. Guy
for, hey, do they
hey,
still
do that? We
got
an extra LASIK to do. I don't know. Do the speaker guys still drive around and go, hey, we got an extra pair of speakers, man. I don't know. Do people buy big speakers anymore?
I got the invoice right here. No, they don't. Oh. You're right. Amazon and Google and those, the home speakers kind of just destroyed them.
Yeah. I don't know. I used to love that. I mean, putting those big 15s in the car when you were a kid.
Oh, yeah.
Just like
oh, yeah.
Jim Irsay did.
Yeah. Yeah.
I had some huge subs in my Jeep.
I had some big JBLs. They were like this high when I was in college. And they were awesome. They sounded great.
My mom got very mad at me for putting them in.
Putting the speakers in?
Pop up that bass.
My brother and I made the box and we put the subs in there. It was huge and it was so deep.
Well, why was she bummed?
Not happy with it. I don't know. Because she didn't want me doing it. Sounded pretty good,
though.
Wait,
was it her car?
Well, I was 16 or 17.
Wait, whose car was it?
I didn't own it. Well, no, it's just a huge box. She just put it in the bag and plugged speaker wire into it.
Well, maybe she doesn't want speaker wire running through her car.
She didn't run. She never drove it.
Yeah, you got to have an amp, too.
She never drove
it. I did have an amp.
Takes up space.
Bottom line, if somebody's driving around in a truck offering cheap LASIK, don't go for it. Go see Dr. Yaldo if you're interested. And they will offer financing and make it affordable for almost anyone. So get a free evaluation, 800-398-EYES, 800-398-EYES, or go to YaldoEyeCenter.com.
Dr. Yaldo did send in this audio clip.
I love your eyes.
So,
you know, Brandon was playing
Lisa
that.
Guerrero was tweeting us all over the place.
Oh, she was?
She was, yeah. She was reaching
out. I love your eyes.
And to her point, I saw another story where she didn't get mentioned to like the fifth paragraph. So that is kind of weak.
Well, let's pray for her. You know,
Father, bless Lisa today. Thank you for her grandparents. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to know her and to her team. And I pray and I believe her peace will be successful.
We need to play that for her if we get her back on.
I just don't like that freaks me out.
I know. I got to tell you, I'm so freaked out by religion lately. Between every time I read about, there was some story about the Catholic Church 2 days ago, and it was like they were talking about how pedophilia still are they paying out these huge settlements, and then there's the Seventh-day Adventist.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the Watchtower and all the pedophiles, they're hiding. The Scientology pedophiles, they're hiding. Then I was watching this doc People Magazine investigates on ID. Where else? And it was about Children of God, this cult that River Phoenix's family was in.
Yeah.
And this, I mean, you just go, how can this go on? How can this be allowed to go on? There are so many people in this cult, tens of thousands. They're in the Philippines. They're all over the world. And they're molesting the children. That's part of the deal is, hey, God wants you to love everyone. And so they've got little girls on schedules to be with different, you know, adult men. It's like the Warren Jeffs thing in Arizona that went on and on and on.
Well,
these 14-year-olds are marrying. It's Koresh. So. But this was going on for a decade or more.
If churches like that weren't tax exempt, would any of this happen? I think it's still.
I don't think it would help. It might.
But they'd have to have their books open.
I don't know what to make of that. You know,
In other words, you would know where the money went.
There's so many people abusing that. If they would just go after the people abusing it, wouldn't that at least we'd feel a little better about it? Because I don't want churches to pay heavy taxes if they're for real. But how do you figure out who's for real and who isn't? I mean, there sure seem to be a lot of wealthy preachers running around these days.
Yeah, and I know it might
hurt. When you go back to the Bible, it's full of wealth.
I love the part where they act like, I earned this money.
Yeah.
Get the fuck out of here.
I know. But there are churches.
You're a charlatan.
Yeah.
God's like, don't drag me into this.
I don't think I've ever used the word charlatan before, but it felt good. They're charlatans.
That's what I named my daughter after.
Chapter 3.
Named after charlatans.
Bastards. I have to talk about, since we're talking about shitty things happening to children, I do want to talk about teen mom Janelle.
Great mom.
Wonderful mom.
She cares about her kids. She's trying to get them back.
She loves her kids. She just doesn't protect them, unfortunately.
Well, you know. But she loves David more.
This story, you know, I've been following it, and I hope people don't consider this. I'm talking about teen mom.
Hi, mommy.
I'm really not interested in the show right now, but I'm interested in what's. And she's not even on the show anymore. But she and David Eason, who is a sick fuck, mm-hmm. here they are, two really twisted adults who are married on a TV show. They're on a TV show. They have primary custody of two of her three kids. I don't know why, honestly, but here he is on Instagram acting like some kind of a nut, threatening police, showing off all of his guns and ammo. And by the way, since he shot the family dog, can we say no more guns for David Eason? Is that not reasonable?
It
should
be.
The family dog. It was a perfectly good pet.
Hey, you can't tell him how to protect his children. Because the only way to discipline that dog was to take it out back and shoot it. And
after he threw it against the wall. Yeah. Yep. By the way, the child was 2 years old, was left alone with a big dog who it was trying to kiss on the lips, and the dog nipped the baby, and it did not bite the kid. The dog did nothing wrong. I don't know. The whole thing makes me so mad. And
well,
the fact that this guy has a zillion guns, too.
Any parent that has a little kid and a pet in the house, you got to let him get comfortable to it. You don't just let him go up and pull the cat's tail or grab
and then
the dog's
shoot the
head.
Animal because they don't like it?
Well, no, that's not what you do anyway.
So he shoots this dog. And by the way, she said he abused her before. She called 911. No, it didn't happen. I was just made it up. Well, arrest somebody. Arrest her then for making it up. She's going to say she made it up. Arrest her.
Those cops must be so exhausted from dealing with
that. They were afraid to go on the property.
Can we put them in front of the star chamber?
Yes, immediately. I'll move them to the front of the line. It took a week to get the kids out of that house. Now in court,
the star chamber.
Thank you.
The caseworker is saying that the house is filthy. There are holes in all the walls. Apparently, he punches holes in the walls all the time. Yeah, I know. And MTV must be filming around all this filth and all this garbage. Because
wait, but it's their house. Why would you do that to your own house?
Take this drywall and that.
Because he and Janelle fight constantly, scream at each other, and argue. And now in interviewing these kids, the kids are scared to death. In that house. They don't like being in that house.
Can they just make a frame, put some drywall on it, put it outside, and he can just go punch that when he gets mad?
I know. I was trying to imagine, how many holes do you put in your wall before you realize how stupid that is?
Yeah.
But this guy's insane, and just really bothers me. Apparently, so you can shoot your family dog for no reason, and you still, there's no penalty in terms of owning a weapon? I mean, doesn't it seem like there'd be something wrong with doing that?
Why not? Well, no.
Or you'd have to explain why you shot your family dog.
He's on his own property.
I'm trying. So anyway,
I don't get it.
These people scream at each other constantly. The kids are scared to death. They don't want to go back there. And they're not even allowed to visit them when they're in the residence they're in now.
Aww.
They have to go to the office of the caseworker to see the kids. So there's a supervisor.
Good.
And yet this is a television show. These people are on TV. We're all watching this in real time, and it takes all this time till he shoots and kills a family dog before and by the way,
until people care about the kids.
Exactly. Yeah. Uh-huh. The older daughter, he has an older daughter who's like 13, I think, and she is totally traumatized. She either saw this or knew exactly what happened, and she wouldn't come out of her room for 2 days. She was so freaked out because he shot this dog she loved.
Can't they all just go live with Barbara?
I think that'd be better.
Poor Barbara.
I know.
Barbara
got into it with Janelle outside court today.
I'm shocked.
Oh, yeah. Because Janelle was pissed because she was asking for her baby back. Janelle was hugging the kid, who she's not allowed to be with, by the way.
Come on.
Barbara says, we have to go. And Janelle's saying, no, you don't. No. And so she said something about Janelle starts bitching to the camera about how am I going to talk to my child? She blocked me.
Yikes, you're strict.
The camera person thinks it's something like, well, that was a nice moment you had, at least, that she let you have. And she goes, and Barbara goes, oh, that was just for the cameras.
That sounds like Barbara. I'm looking at her Instagram page real quick, and a lot of the pictures she's had lately, it's crazy. No comments are allowed. So there's like a picture of one kid at the dentist, one kid in his cap and gown for pre-K. There's a picture of that. No comments.
Cap and gown.
Her most recent picture is a picture of like two tomatoes and some peppers that I guess she grew.
Yum.
And she wrote, Homestead Living. It's got 4,500 comments. Most of them are things like, have you ever seen that video of Ensley crying? Another one of, nice to see you putting a lot of effort into fixing your relationship with your boyfriend. He's the most important and only fish in the sea, after all. You don't want to lose that lovely prize of a man. Your mom is keeping Jace from you because that's what the courts told her to do. So it's like all these people were just waiting to comment and shit all over her.
Hope Financial Hotline is open. We should come back to this.
And they're doing it on a picture of two tomatoes and some peppers.
Go to
a total turd.
DrewandMike.HallFG.
Oh, I need a song. Man, I got a song for him. Don't introduce him yet until I get a song.
Call 248-308-5000 for Hall Financial. Or go to our website and click on the link. Fill out the online form, and Hall Financial will get back to you, but fast.
Not yet. I'm not ready. I'm loading it up.
Okay, yeah, we have to. We're not ready for Dan Wetzel. There has to be
20 seconds.
There has to be the appropriate music played, apparently. Or he will not come on. No, he refuses to come on the air unless this is played.
He requested this. I just got to find it.
I hope this is something.
Oh, don't, Brandon. Stop it. Okay, ready here. This is the one
these are the kind of demands that we deal with.
He requested it.
I didn't know what
was
his
ringtone.
Dan, were you expecting that?
Soft grooves, man. Smooth grooves, right? I was wondering what you guys were going to do to me.
Is there another Dan song? I can't think of one. I don't know. I should have thought of this.
Oh, yeah.
Good question. I don't know if there's any other
walk-off music for the Tigers.
Now batting, Dan Wetzel. Wetzel.
Oh, that's a great song. I love Elton John. Mm-hmm. Has anybody seen Rocket Man, by the way? Dan, you haven't seen Rocket Man,
have you? I have not. Looks good, though.
Yeah.
I'm sure it'll do well. So, Dan, you've been covering the Kellen Winslow Jr. trial, and I've been reading your work, and this sounds, I can't imagine being in a trial like this because you got this high-priced group of attorneys fighting on behalf. I mean, it sounds like they're really trying to get him off, but on the other hand, it sounds like he is just guilty as hell.
I had another lawyer say that this is the dream lawyer. One of the dreams of a lawyer is to have a wealthy client who has to fight. But there's no expectation you're going to win. So you can bill them a ton of money.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Yeah, but if you lose, you go, well, I wasn't the one who told you to expose yourself to a 78-year-old woman in a hot tub while you were out on bail. You know, so, it's not likely. I would expect he is convicted of these charges, at least some of them.
Mm-hmm.
They are trying hard to get him free. But it's once the government can take five different cases and put it into one trial, they almost always are going to win because you might, in a vacuum, go, well, I don't believe this story. But at some point, you're like, wait, five different women are all lying, and am I going to risk sending this guy back out in the street? So,
you know, do you have any thoughts, Dan, on Kellen Winslow Jr.? I mean, I remember some of the dumb stuff he did and said.
I'm a soldier.
Yeah, I'm a soldier. Mm-hmm. And such. But is he just a bad guy or a guy who's screwed up? Or do you have any thoughts on that? I just, you know, I'm, as someone who's probably had more exposure or heard more about him, I don't really know other than this stuff.
I mean, clearly he operates in a, you know, just not typical to society thing. I mean, he's 35 years old, and I mean, even they're basically arguing that he's picking up, a 59-year-old homeless woman, but it's consensual.
Oh God!
Like, and having sex on the side of her, but it's consensual sex, or the 55-year-old transient woman they're calling her. You know, so it, obviously that's not what most 35-year-olds are doing. Even if they were interested in an older woman, why are you going with homeless women? You know, it's just, obviously that's just outside the bounds of normal behavior, typical behavior. So that part is obviously what stands out about this case. It's not so much that a guy's raping anyone or is trying to get with as many women as possible. It's the women he's choosing. And then really this is clearly a power thing. If you're doing this,
did the defense put forth a psychiatrist or psychologist to say like, oh, he's got some kind of syndrome or anything like that? Like, who did the defense put forward?
They really just worked on mistaken identity or just inconsistencies in the stories, just an inability to properly identify. But I mean, it's tough. Like. So Kellen Winslow made a ton of money, made about $40 million playing football. He lives in a really nice town, and you know, he's known to ride his bike around. I mean, 6'4" or 6'5", 240 pounds, got tattoos, you know, very memorable tattoos up and down his arms. And so it's sort of like, okay, if it isn't him in this fairly small affluent suburb, exactly how many guys we got looking like him riding on their bikes around. So it's really kind of hard to argue this, but they didn't want to, they could have gone like the, hey, he's got CTE, mm-hmm. or he's got brain damage, some kind of, you know, screw loose from football, but then they would have to admit he did that. He did it. So, and they didn't really come out and explain that he just happens to like older women. They just have basically said it's either these, this one's consensual, this one's lying, this is mistaken identity. But again, it's just, it's really hard to win that when there's so many of them. If there's one, you could do it. But when you got five, it's really tough.
I guess you could say it's a little Cosby-esque in that regard.
Yeah.
Because it really, that's what it took to convict Bill Cosby. I'm wondering about his testifying, which I didn't think he would, but there was discussion to the effect that, well, if he testified, there's a chance that a lot of other things could come in. And I'm thinking, how many more things can come into this? Do you know what they're, I mean, there's five women. They're all horrible things. I know there's a woman who accused him of masturbating in his car with a big thing of Vaseline sitting
back
there
in Cleveland.
That's not even part of this case.
No, there was that's a different one.
There was another one too, that was, you know, sort of a exposure thing. Is there more than that? That they're afraid of coming in?
I think they were
in?
Bringing up the 2000, I think it was a 2014 arrest for that, or I can't remember what year it was, where he on Black Friday, he went down the shopping center and sat there and was in his car doing his thing. And so, yeah, I think they were bringing that up.
On Black Friday? That'd be the worst
on
day.
Black Friday.
There's too many cars in the lot. Know?
Well, if you want an audience, it's a good day.
True. Yeah.
And he, I mean, clearly, like, Jane Doe, number one, which I actually think her story does not make any sense. And that was the weakest of the cases. But I think she was probably working, or he thought she was working as a prostitute. He picked her up. But his goal there was to have sex with her on the side of the on-ramp to a highway. Ugh. So the people going on the on-ramp would see them having sex.
Wow.
Right? So this is the line you're walking. It's just really hard for anybody on a jury, I would expect, to be like, yeah, I'm willing to let this guy back out. Like, this guy's not a threat to society. Actually, a murderer would be less likely to commit another murder than this. Yeah. And you know, then you have this, there was this woman, she really couldn't speak English very well. She's Vietnamese. Yeah. She's gardening in her, she's just cutting flowers, and he just kind of pulls up on his bicycle and walks up and just pulls down his bicycle shorts to her. Like, And her story was extremely believable. And you know, the way she tells it, and she told it to the police, they show basically the way she reports to the police is the same story she told on the stand. And again, you're just like, this is crazy behavior. Like, what are you doing? So every story has got a little bit loose, you know, it's a little bit shaky, but it's really hard to thread that needle when you're fighting. Yeah, well, that was consensual when he picked up this homeless woman. They're going to have sex beside the road. It's just a tough story to get a jury to feel good about.
Well, you got this fabulous defense team, too, so any witness is going to have trouble when it's a great defense team. I got the impression when this first came out that his parents stood behind him 100% as in, this is crazy, he would never do that. And I tend to take people at their word. Do you think that there are people who actually believe he hasn't done anything wrong? Like his parents?
His dad is there every day. His dad is a Hall of Fame player for the San Diego Chargers and is really one of the most beloved San Diego Chargers of all time. And the Chargers are a lot like the Lions. They never won anything. They won more than the Lions, but not, you know. So this is not a team with a, you know, this isn't the Cowboys or the Patriots get so many great players or the Packers. This is one of the best players who've ever played. And then he stayed in town. So it'd be like if Barry Sanders stayed in town and raised his family, and then his kid becomes this huge high school star. He's just a very prominent, very well-liked guy around town. He's not talking during the trial. He's sitting there every day. And, you know, I understand you stand by your kid, but I thought numerous times when I'd look over at him, like, how exactly do you might want to believe he is innocent, but how do you sit there and listen to these stories and go, gosh, there's nothing here? I mean, why is... Who knows all of the homeless people in their town? Like, he knew all the homeless women in the town. Because he would go down the train station and talk to them. He'd pull up in his car. He had a really nice Hummer II car, and everyone knew him. And he'd go down to where the train station was, where all the homeless, like, this is nuts.
Is he married?
Yeah, he's married. He's 35 years old. He had $40 million. He's a retired player. He's living a great life. I mean, he lives in Carlsbad by the sea. I mean, it's a fantastic town. I mean, what a place to live. Working out and riding his bike around. He's got a couple of businesses, and he's living the absolute dream life.
Hey, what were his businesses? What business did he run?
He was an investor. I think there was some real estate. Just, he's dabbling and stuff, but nothing serious. And he's got plenty of free time on his hand. But this is what he's doing. He's meeting homeless women. If you're Kellen Winds, you might. At the beginning, you might have heard this stuff and be like, that's not my son. That's crazy, right?
Yeah.
But when you listen to these women, most of them were extremely believable. And it's just too random that they'd all pick this guy out. And again, he's a distinctive person. He's a big guy with these tattoos, and he's got this very noticeable car. Like, he's really not hiding anything here.
Dan, what's that giant tattoo on his back? I'm sorry to interrupt. It just hit me. He has the biggest tattoo on his back, and I tried to zoom in and figure out what it was.
I don't know what that is.
It was a picture, and maybe
where are you seeing him with his shirt off?
They show the mugshot. They show his arm.
I think it was a picture. It's his back, and it was, I don't know what the picture is. I thought it was maybe one of the Yahoo stories, because I was reading your stories, and somebody else had a story.
Whoa.
Yeah, you looking at Brandon?
Oh, it looks like a skull on fire.
Big flaming skull.
Okay. And is there something it says above it? Because I don't think I want this tattoo, by the way. I just want to make that clear.
Art of something.
It says, I'm a soldier.
I thought it might say that. It's huge.
So those tattoos were entered into evidence because of the whole identifying him. Did the prosecution make a big deal about how he changed his look from court? Because he showed up, he had glasses on, he was shaven, he had a haircut. Was that ever talked about in the trial?
Well, different times when he'd have a clean, his head would be shaven and stuff like that. So when there was confusion over who he was, but obviously, it's not unusual for someone to try to, choir boy it up at the trial, no matter who you are. But yeah, he's got a nice suit on, and his dad's bringing him suits every day. And it's a very wealthy family. They have all the resources to try to make him look good, but there's only so much you can do.
Did he have a chance to get bond?
He was bonded, and this is devastating. He was free, and he goes to the health club. And he sees, and he gets in the hot tub with this 78-year-old woman. And so there's this incident where he's exposing himself to her, and she tells her husband, and they tell the manager, and then he gets arrested because he's violated bond. And, again, it's like, what are you doing? I mean,
Dan, are you surprised?
And I think that's what kills you with the jury, because you're like, I can't trust. Who's going to sit there and be like, I'm going to take my chances?
Yeah, he's already violated it once.
We all know that, prison, there's too many people in prison, and we put people in prison for things they shouldn't be put in for too long. But, predators are why we have prisons.
Yeah.
And this guy is a predator. He's running around town, just walking up to, old women who are gardening.
Yeah. I didn't realize he was on bond with the 78-year-old, because that story was absolutely devastating and frightening to me. Thinking of your older mother or your grandmother or something who's in a hot tub comfortably at this health club, and he walks out with a towel, drops the towel, gets in the hot tub, and he was 18 inches from her, and he starts playing with himself. And I'm thinking, how horrible.
While on bond.
Yeah. I know.
You don't go anywhere near anyone. If you are innocent,
it's kind of flattering.
Right? Wow. It's like you just be like, I'm not even going to the health club.
Did the defense ask her if she was flattered because he's risking bond? And
I think he said, no, he didn't say that, but he did say, like, all right, don't you like it when I work out near you?
Oh, gross.
Like
that. Yeah. Man.
Hey, are you shocked that this isn't a bigger story nationally? I feel like, aside from what you and Jeff have written for Yahoo, I see nothing on this story.
I am. It's a pretty, I mean, it's, it, checked a lot of boxes for like voyeuristic celebrity trials, right? I don't know. Court TV is back in business now, and they're showing it, but for whatever reason, it has not hit. I think part of it is like it's San Diego, not Los Angeles. Like nobody pays attention to what happens in San Diego nationally, but I mean, he's a prominent name. It's the NFL. The crimes are absolutely crazy. The details are crazy. I don't know why. I thought it would be a bigger story.
I feel like ESPN devoted, so much time to Aaron Hernandez when that trial was going on.
Right.
And not a blip of this on any other shows.
Yeah, I don't know why. I mean, it's obviously like, it's hard. I don't know what they're doing. It is hard to describe this story in like any kind of family. You know, I mean, you can't just, you know, your kid's watching SportsCenter. He's watching for the, you know, top 10 plays.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you're detailing this stuff. Maybe some of that. But, you know, I don't know. It's not in the New York Times. There's almost no media there. There's San Diego media. Wow. And then there was USA Today and basically us at Yahoo. That was about it.
Well,
I don't know.
I'm glad you're there because I'm interested, very interested in this trial. And I was going to even ask you, do you think on Court TV this was a good watch? I mean, that sounds really crass, but I'm just curious. Would it have been entertaining or interesting to watch?
Well, I watched some of it because I was there for some of it. And then, like, you know, I'm not there right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know how long the verdict is going to go. And I mean, he's going to be found guilty. So I did watch some. Yeah, I mean, the stories are absolutely crazy. And you're just like, I can't believe it that they're doing, you know, they're doing this. So it probably wasn't a bad watch.
And I miss Court TV. Court TV just kind of disappeared.
No one knows where it is.
I don't even know where it is. I didn't know this was
on. It's like on Channel 7.8.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for...
Here's what I think. I'm glad Court TV's back. I love trials, and a lot of people do. A lot of people love true crime. And, you know, with Trump coming along, and this is regardless of politics, like all CNN and Fox and those things, they used to cover trials.
Yeah.
Like Lacey Peterson and, you know, like these trials would come up, and that was a big part of all of those news networks' coverage every night. And now it's just all Trump, 24 hours a day, Trump on every single channel. So there's no place for these trials, and it's not like people stop being interested in it. So all of those things that became these huge trials they don't exist. They have no outlet anymore because CNN and Fox and MSNBC don't do any of it anymore. So
you are fake news.
It's funny when I used to see stuff like, and I used to follow trials like Scott Peterson because I am a true crime. I'm fascinated by true crime. I like to read Ann Rule books and, you know, whatever I can get my hands on. But the Scott Peterson trial, it's funny when I watched it, I really felt like it became a great outlet for me in terms of whatever anxieties I'm feeling. It's like, yeah, they got Scott Peterson. Oh, great witness. And it just, I don't know why I'd sink myself into those things. And it seemed like my world just sort of went away. And I really enjoyed watching it, not because I enjoy crime, but it was something that sort of took my mind off the world. And I missed it when it was gone. And I'd forgotten it was even
soap operas. Yeah, it's like a nightly soap opera. And I mean, you think about Scott Peterson and Lacey, those are nobody knew who those people were.
No,
he was
not
like
at all.
There's just a middle class guy and his wife and the new baby, but everybody got into it. Or Jody Arias.
That was phenomenal.
All these trials, they just stopped when that presidential election came. And obviously, these networks get huge ratings. They know what people want to watch. But there's still a lot of us that I think just kind of always enjoyed trial coverage, and it just doesn't exist. So I hope Court TV gets cranking again, because I think they have a real chance to capture an audience that I don't know why anyone would think it went away.
Yeah.
And I'm exhausted by Trump. I mean, pro or con or whatever, it's just nonstop. And you know, all these things are just blown up. Oh, he called Meghan Markle nasty, which is stupid. And he had a tweet. He ripped up the mayor of London. And it's just, come on, there's got to be other things. And
I know, but it's getting fun again because Michael Wolff's new book is out. ridiculous.
And we'll talk about that. But
that's the fun stuff.
I just feel like, and now if this impeachment thing happens and then the election right after, I'll lose my mind. And I think the country will join me.
Probably.
It's too much. I can't handle it. And you look at Twitter and all these people who tweet about it constantly. I'm thinking, God, Bette Midler, I just picture her yelling all day long about Trump.
Bette Midler. Yeah, you could be living a great life. You're letting this guy just absolutely live in your head all the time. You
George
Takei. Don't like him, or you like him, or you spend your whole day defending him. It's like, Man, get on with something else.
I know.
But
it's mad.
You know what you need to do, Drew? You need to read some epic athlete books by Dan Wetzel. I mean, they might be for kids, but it'll calm you down.
Yeah, you can read it as adults, too.
What's your latest, Dan?
That's what we got. We got a series of books for kids, for middle school readers, epic athletes. They're like, 120-page sports biographies. Kind of the old sports biographies that I read as a kid, and a lot of people read as kids, they stopped kind of doing them. And I have two out right now. Steph Curry and Alex Morgan, the soccer player. Got Tom Brady coming.
Did you include Deflategate with Tom Brady or Spygate?
A little Deflategate.
Really?
In there. Not too much, though. Yeah, we're not getting into too much of the negative.
Did you include his new trademark battle that's going on right now?
No, that came after publication deadline.
Hey, I'll take a side on that, by the way. Tom Seaver will always be Tom Terrific to me. I just feel right.
I love Brady.
I don't know how he's claiming that.
Is he? So he's trying to copyright Tom Terrific?
Yeah, Comeback Kid and Touchdown Tom, which I've never heard him be called
comeback
any of that.
Kid.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've never heard any of those.
Oh,
I mean, TV 12, that's what he's known it. Or GOAT, but I guess you can't really do that. I don't know. Yeah.
Dan, when you mentioned books that
you
read
for your kids, you need a summer, summer reading.
Yes, I agree.
I remember
put the Fortnite down. We'll give it a shot.
I know. Honestly, I hope we're getting to that point. I fear we're not. It seems like it's all about clicks and games and clicks and games. But when I was a kid, I distinctly remember a couple of report cards that said how much I liked to read and how great that was. And then there were always the caveat that. But all he reads are sports books, and he really needs to branch out. And I remember those books, the 100-page, 120-page bios. I read one on Joe Namath. I read one on Dizzy Dean. I love those books, and I could sink into those, and I think anything you can get a kid to read is a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's been fun because the kids are reading. They seem to like them. And, the market, there's tons of, 36-page ones for, little kids, and then there's 300-page books. And it's like, well, neither of that. And then a lot of the focus of what I do in the books is what the guys were like, any of the athletes, women too, when they were in middle school and high school. Like, so you might sit there and say, well, Steph Curry's incredible. He's got, 35 points a game in the finals. But when he was 11, he was too small. You're never going to make it. You're too small. You can't make this team. He wasn't heavily recruited. Like, all of the doubters and Serena Williams, right? Most amazing tennis player ever. Well, when she's a kid, she's known as not as good as your sister. That's what she hears, right? Your sister's the star. You're the other one. Well, you don't have to play tennis. You just have to be a younger sibling to know what that's like. Or Tom Brady didn't play a single snap on the freshman football team at his high school. He was the backup quarterback, and the team lost every game.
Who was the starting quarterback?
On his freshman team?
Yeah, his freshman team.
Really?
Didn't get it.
Whatever happened to that starting quarterback?
He quit because he stunk so bad to concentrate on basketball. So that's how Tom got the job as a sophomore. Hmm. But he kept working and working. So there's there's good messages. And Alex Morgan got cut from her 13-year-old soccer team when she tried out for a travel team. They cut her. Ooh. 13. Now she's the star of the women's national team. So we do a lot on kind of trying to relate to the kids at that age. It's not because I think they know athletes. Like, we know a lot about celebrities,
It's
all Instagram, and it's all polished and perfect. And it's like, no, these guys are actually a lot more like you than you think. You're not going to turn out to be Steph Curry, but you do. There's a lot of people that know what it's like being the smallest kid on the fifth grade team,
Just don't write one about Kellen Winslow the second.
Yeah, that will not be one of these.
Yeah, do you remember what?
Leave that one out. The Aaron Hernandez story, Floyd Mayweather. Floyd. Yeah, we don't have chapters when they go to jail.
OJ.
OJ, yeah.
And it was funny how those books that were written in the 80s that
there's,
pop up
there's
once in a while, hey, here's this nice book about OJ.
I just hope none of my athletes end up take it out of print.
Yeah, Alex Morgan's going to go murder
OJ
somebody.
Probably would have got a book written about him until, yeah.
Dan, Lord. Do you remember any of the bios you read as a kid? Because I remember them so well. Those people were just larger than life to me, and I loved reading about them.
I did. I read Larry Bird. I remember that. And I actually got the Larry Bird one. I imagine I did read a bunch of them, but I remember I found the Larry Bird book that I had originally read, and I reread it, and I was trying to remember, like, why did I like this book? You know, what made me interested in this at 11 or however old I was? And so, you know, there's, I mean, with any of these things, there's a little bit of a formula to it and the pacing and things, because you're not, I don't normally write for that age, although, you know, we are talking about Yahoo readers. We're not, you know, these are not the PhDs. Wasn't that big of a difference. I don't write at that high of a level anyway. But, you know, what is it that, and I, the thing about those bios is you remember, like, little anecdotes about them.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, right? For the rest of your life, you know, these anecdotes. So try to find a lot of stories. I interview, like, their, you know, their friends at that time. Steph Curry had his great story about his dad was playing in Toronto, so they moved the family to Toronto for 1 year. And it's just like the last team. They had always lived in Charlotte. And so they joined this. They get to this like small private school. They had a 7th and 8th grade basketball team that was terrible. They were like 3-15 the year before. And they only had like one kid who was any good and so small. Anybody who came out for basketball made the team. And then Steph and Seth Curry, his younger brother, by 2 years, they joined the team. And they immediately start just housing everybody. Winning by 40, and they go 16-0 and win the championship. And then his dad retires, and they move back to Charlotte. And so, like, I talked to this guy. He's like, he works as a business consultant. He's 30 years old, right? And, you know, what's it like when, you know, it's like the dream of every kid on a crappy middle school basketball team. Like, we're terrible. Imagine if. he had great stories. It's just like, and he goes, the first time I saw them, I was like, oh, no, they're not that good. They knew it was Del Curry's son. They're like, we got an NBA kid coming. They're thinking it's going to be a big guy. And then he sees these two small guys. He's like, oh, no, he never missed. He would hit shot after shot. So there's a lot of, like, fun stories from that age, and you get great stuff from the people that coached them in seventh grade, and they're, you know, knew them at that age. It's actually been pretty fun to put the books together.
So if somebody's got a 10-year-old and they think they might enjoy some of these, where would they find them? Amazon and everywhere
Amazon,
else?
Amazon, yeah. Epic Athletes by Dan Wetzel. I think so far we've gotten good reviews on it, so.
Well, I can tell Dan wants to leave because his music's playing. Hey, Dan, it's great to talk to you. Good luck with the book,
Good
Epic Athletes.
Music.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll be back. Thanks so much.
I'll be back. Yeah, thanks,
Dan.
All right, Dan Wetzel.
He's great.
I love when Dan's covering something because I know we're going to want to talk to him.
I know. And I love it because my whole thing has been about Court TV. Like, where is it? I knew it was on like 7.8 or whatever, one of the high def channels.
You know, I probably have it on my TV.
You don't. It's not on Comcast, DirecTV, or any of those. But duh, of course it's streaming. I'm watching it right now. The defense is closing with Wenzel. And it looks great.
You know what? Can you cue up Cops? I recorded Cops. Cops is back, ladies and gentlemen, on the Paramount Channel. Thanks to you guys for letting me know this yesterday. I watched it this morning. I was transported back in time to the good old days when Cops was new every week.
You're so old school. I can't believe you don't like live PD.
You know, it's just not as good. Cops distills it down to the three best stories. And live PD, you get some real clunkers.
I don't know what's going to happen.
I don't know. You are in trouble, Mike. Just get out of here.
I agree. And sometimes, you know, Cops occasionally throws a clunker in, I think just to make you know that, hey, they're not all winners. So enjoy your winners. Like, Cops, when Cops is deciding that, you know, we got too much hot stuff on here, we got to let people down once in a while, they'll put in an animal story, like a snake is in somebody's garage. It's like, oh, an animal story. Oh, get out of here.
Oh,
cool. They brought back the original.
Absolutely. And the logo. The logo rules.
Suspects are innocent until proven guilty in a court of law.
This is a new voiceover guy.
Where's my cop's hat? It sounded like the old guy.
Since I became a police officer, there's a lot of scenarios where it's win or lose.
Brandon, when he pulls these guys over, as soon as you see the two guys, pause it. I want you guys. I thought this might be a fun game. Like, guess what's going to happen?
Oh, that's a great game. These guys?
Yeah, let's see the guys.
Okay. Let's see. What is that, a Cobalt? Chevy Cobalt?
In the parking lot of the nearby liquor store.
Liquor store Cobalt.
Red Chevy Sonic, occupied two times. Before I get information.
Wait, occupied two times? I mean, there's two people in there? I'm going to start using that phrase. That's police talk is pretty damn cool, man.
I know certain terms that come up. I don't know if it's medicine or maybe just cops, but the word biped. what a term, biped. I mean, what a way to make
instead
people
of person?
Think you're, yeah, exactly. They're on two legs.
All right, okay, should we ahead, guess
run,
now?
Run a little more. Run a little more.
All right, man. Officer Bailey, the reason I'm pulling you over is your temp tag is fake.
Roll out your window.
Oh. Oh.
Thank you. Okay. All right, man.
No doubt.
Do me a favor, just step out for me.
Okay, pause. Any thoughts on what's going
to
happen?
Well, it's a stolen car. I'm guessing it's a stolen car.
I'm guessing just by the quick little hand signal to his buddy, to the other cop, that it has something to do with cocaine on the nose.
No.
I didn't see that.
He pointed at his nose and looked at the other cop.
Good guess, O'Brien. Yeah, there was something going on.
Probably his drugs.
You know what? I think he smelled something.
Like weed?
Oh,
smelled something? You're absolutely right.
Fart? He smelled it and he dealt it?
Could be a fart. Anyway, do you think this is going to be a cooperative situation? They're going to drive off?
No, it's the premiere episode of Cops. This is going to be high action, man.
Oh, come on.
You got to come right out of the cannon for episode one.
I got to say, that looks like the second occupant of the car looks like he's about to get out. I'm going to guess, is the first guy going to get back in and take off?
No.
Okay.
No, but you're on the right track. It's actually
going to run on foot.
Well, let's pause. Let's unpause and see what happens.
You idiot! Hey.
Oh, we got a brawl between the passenger and the other second cop.
Oh, there's some weed on the ground.
Listen.
Go down, sirs.
What are you doing?
Get down on the ground.
Down.
Keep moving.
Go. Get
on the ground.
Get off of me.
Get on the ground.
Down.
I'm not doing anything,
Get
man.
Sit.
Stop.
Sit down.
Dude,
sit.
Yes, he's trying to get away.
Hey, I'm not doing that.
236, hold there.
Oh, he's doing the leg sweep. I love that move. I do it to Charlotte all the time.
All right. Wait.
Pause.
All right. Come on, though. Over a small, what has he got, an eighth of weed?
The guy was trying to run away. First of all, he dropped the weed on the ground. He was trying to get rid of the weed. And then he was trying to get away. Now, when the guy was saying, get on the ground, and he's going, I'm not fighting. I'm not doing anything. Meanwhile, he's trying to stand up and get away from the guy.
So, obviously, they're in a state where it's not legal.
Yeah, Kansas City, Missouri.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to get too excited about the pot. Now, you're also going to find out something else about this passenger that's going to make
warrants?
This is why I love this show. And this particular, I wasn't even going to watch this one, but when you see what happens here, you go, wow, that's kind of fucking scary. I mean, to be these cops, and they have two of them, and they approach this car, and they're two young, athletic-looking guys. I don't know, what race are they? Would you?
They're black.
Are they just, they look like they're, I wasn't sure what their ethnicity was exactly.
I mean, I don't see color, but I'm assuming it's black. Is that what black looks like?
I honestly don't know.
I think there may be another ethnicity in there, but yeah, it might be Hispanic or but anyway, you know, they look like they're good looking guys. They're athletic looking, and that's scary when you're pulling them over. Not, you know, you're supposed to assume everyone's the same.
Shouldn't they have like a boring cops episode where they just pull over people and send them away? Because the problem is it makes you assume that every time they pull somebody over from a liquor store, this happens.
But, I mean, you do tend to get some tendencies when people are pulled over in certain, you know, in the inner city, for example. No one has a license. No one ever has a license. And everyone has warrants. It's amazing. So, anyway, okay, watch what's going to happen here. Go ahead.
Well, call him
on your back.
Oh, I just noticed that guy is like braided dreadlock type hair. So if he's not black, then it's cultural appropriation. Guilty.
Parking lot.
Oh, man.
Go hand behind your back now.
You good?
Yeah, I'm good, bro. I'm good.
Not you.
Now I'm good.
Bro, I'm not trying to fight with you, bro.
Hey, bro, I see you, bro. Whenever, bro. You gotta get a hold of my dad, bro.
You gotta get a hold of my dad.
Who's his dad?
No, I ain't trying to get rid of nothing, bro.
Did you play for the Royals?
Up ready.
Hey, Bailey, I got a gun.
He had a gun in his pocket.
Can you give my keys to him?
No. I got him, Cassie. You can clear there.
All right. Oh, my God. Oh. Hey, Cap.
Oh, man.
Brewer just had to. Can you watch him? He's got a gun. He started fighting as soon as we got them both out.
There's weed over there. I got a gun off this guy.
On the side of the car, Bailey, on the ground.
All right. There's another gun in here.
It's registered in
my name. Why are you breathing so hard?
And my paperwork is in my wallet.
You got me roughing you, bro.
I'm not going to do that,
bro. I'm not doing anything.
All right. Oh, no, I just got a gun in my pocket.
Can you just give him my
stuff? It's registered. He can open carry.
We're going to deal with that.
Pause for a second. You carry a gun in your pocket?
Why not? Plexico Burris didn't.
It's registered.
Well, first of all, he didn't say, when a cop pulls you over, if you have a gun in the car, aren't you supposed to immediately say, hey, by the way, didn't they ask him? Don't they ask him when you pull you over?
I didn't.
You got any firearms?
Did, I don't know. Probably. It'd be a good idea to ask him.
I'm not sure that they did, but they almost always do.
As an occupant of a car, you might want to disclose that.
But someone who's trying to get away, now you didn't think he was trying to run away. He was absolutely trying to get away, and he's got a gun in his pocket.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, maybe you like open carry, but to me, I would like to know if somebody in a car
maybe he was
I'm
thinking
over
of Philandro Castile and when he told the cop that he had a gun and the guy shot him.
Hey,
anyway.
Bust his ass, officer!
Because I'm sure,
you know,
that guy's
honestly,
thinking
that's,
five
that's
steps
all you
ahead.
Hear about is Philandro Castile. You never hear about the 9 million times they pull
the
people
Tony
over
Dones
with
of the world.
Guns. Yeah, the Tony Dones and the
John Johnson. Well, I'll see you in a couple, bro. In a couple years, G.
The big bag of weed he had in his hands when we took him out of the car and he tried to throw on the ground.
I ain't that big.
You got me, bro.
He ain't got nothing. He's cool, bro. He's legal and all that, bro.
It was just a cluster because
is that his lawyer?
At the same time, I got my guy and he starts to fight Brewer, so I can't let go of my dude, and Brewer's on his own, so... But this was driver's seat, and this was on the guy that fought Brewer. He's talking like he's going away.
Yeah, one of them already said he was a felon.
He's a felon.
Perfect. Of course. The driver of the vehicle, he has no warrants.
Can't have a gun.
The passenger.
Well, that's why you didn't tell him then, Drew.
Kansas possession of controlled substance, and he has a felony warrant out of Kansas City, Missouri for delivering controlled substance. He spontaneously uttered
Oh, check
that
this conversation out.
With him having a gun on him, he'll be good for felony
Tell me
possession.
Who you believe.
All right. You don't have any warrants. If anything, you're definitely going to be getting a ticket for the temp tag at the minimum. And then, so
that was towed.
Yeah. Not necessarily getting towed yet. So, like I said, we're waiting on detectives.
I let them drive away.
I thought
that was nice of them to let them drive. You know, it could have been a dick.
They're getting pulled. Oh, the guy that, the driver?
Yeah, the driver's going to drive away.
What's interesting, though, is they're getting pulled over. Didn't he think of maybe, like, hiding the weed instead of dumping it when you get out of the car? Or maybe he thought he would never have to get out of the car.
He's already pulled over. He can't pull over any farther.
I'm just trying to put yourself in the mind of the occupant. You get pulled over.
Well, first, his problem is he dropped the weed like 5 feet from the cop. I mean, like he wasn't going to
notice.
That's
what I mean.
He should have chucked it. I would have, when the guy just had to, I would just gone, just whipped it backwards or something?
Oh, please. He would have seen that.
I don't know, but it's better than 5 feet away.
It's not the driver. Put it in the glove box.
I think I would have crotched it.
That's in the glove box, then
it's the driver's, and then there's confusion. You can argue over it. No, it's his. No, it's his.
So
no,
I mean,
it's his. No,
so
it's his.
You just put it in the glove box.
Yeah, so you got a shot. You got 50
I mean,
shot.
You're throwing your driver under the bus.
Well, the driver will probably get stuck with it. But watch this conversation as the guy talks to him. You know, you got a warrant for this.
Why did they have him get out of the car right away?
They smelled something.
Yeah,
he pointed to his nose.
He smelled pot.
Oh, okay.
Because all odds are right now, do you have insurance for it?
What?
Do you have insurance for the vehicle?
Not yet.
No? So, okay.
Yes, that's what I was thinking. I know.
Not yet. I was going to do that next Thursday.
Watch your next conversation
the guns,
with the other
the
guy, though.
Saying is registered to him legally. If that's the case, then he might be able to leave with his gun. But since he had a convicted felon in his vehicle with him, depending on what the detectives say, we might recover the gun as well. But since he has his paperwork on it, it validates that he can legally own a firearm.
Well, he thought that was
dumb as fuck. I
don't know
if they told you exactly what you're under arrest for.
I got warrants to handle a felon and I got guns. Yeah,
you got a felony warrant out of our city for delivering controlled substance. You got a felony warrant.
Delivering a hole?
Controlled substance.
I ain't delivering.
Well, that's
what I delivered.
The techs are going to talk to you about it. That's tonight, tomorrow. I'm just telling you what's in there. You also have a warrant out of Kansas for possession of controlled substance. It said in there cocaine. And then you have a plethora.
You said what now?
You have a felony warrant out of Kansas as well. It's extraditable. So at some point, you will be owner of Kansas to serve that warrant out as well.
For who now?
For you. For possession
for
of controlled substance.
I never had. When was this?
I have to look
you're
at
not
it.
Not in court right now, dude. Just say that.
Those two things you said, I don't know nothing about those. I do know I got like a lot of traffic warrants.
That's right. I'll talk to him about the keys real quick.
Yeah, the keys and the money, bro. That's all I asked you to do for me, bro.
Sounds good.
Yeah, he's okay. You can go to the third story now.
120.
I was watching court TV.
He was lobbying.
Your case.
case. I'm going to talk to the judge about a writ of habeas corpus. I'll put the system on trial.
He wanted the driver to be given his gun and his money and his keys. And they were debating, I don't know if we can give the gun to him. But it's kind of interesting. He's a felon with a gun. He's going to prison. I mean, they know that on the spot because he's a felon and he's got a gun. And he's got a rash of warrants. And I think he might have been telling the truth about the this story's kind of funny. Actually, these are all good.
A pretty good white trash story.
But yeah, it's a really good white trash story. The third one's probably better. God, I forgot how good this is. God, Cops is back. I love it. Yes.
All right. Let me do the spots first
because nobody is going to miss this story. This is cool. I'm telling you. Oh, my God. My life is better. Our beloved studio sponsor and friends at Zotchrysler, Jeep, Dodge, Ram, and DealsInTheD.com are smack dab in the middle of their Jeep celebration event. They're excited for you to be part of it. During the Zot Jeep Celebration event, I can't read, I'm so pumped. You can lease a new 19 Jeep Compass Limited at just $188 a month. You can also lease a new 19 Jeep Grand Cherokee for just $277 a month. Or if you dig more the Ram truck type, how about a new 19 Ram Bighorn Crew Cab 4x4 as low as $169 a month? Better still, how about a 0% financing? Or how about a 0% financing? Oh, boy. How about 0% financing on all new 2018 Ram heavy duties in stock? Such a deal. As you can see, Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram is kicking off this hot summer with a bang. So get on top of all these great deals right now. Right now. And David Hall, they're the top mortgage company in Michigan for client service. We had a huge May over there, by the way. 25 tips. Whoa. I think that's our biggest month. Wow. I'm sure it is. Yeah, 25 Jesus. Referrals off. Now, they're on the whole network now.
That's
but, you
great.
Know, Charlie and ML and Eli and those guys, there's only, 16 shows a month.
Mm-hmm.
We do 20 shows a month, 22 really, 22, 23 sometimes. Yeah. So, you know.
Wow, that's great.
That's pretty cool. Yeah.
Look at all that money the people are saving.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what they try to do at David Hall and Hall Financial. The team to go to if you're looking to purchase a home or refinance. I've almost got their slogan down. Better options, lower. Wait, better options, lower.
Better service.
And more customer service. Wait, it's not.
I've heard that motto before.
It's not lower expenses. Can you go to Hall Financial?
That's how they say it. Better.
Yeah, they do.
Hall Financial. Better.
That would be. I think they'd draw more attention to it if they had the announcer act like he couldn't remember one of them. I think we're on something.
Well, and making people listen and be like, wait, what did that guy say? Did you just go,
or just mumble it? What is it? Are you looking at it? Lower costs, more options, lower costs.
Better service?
And better customer service.
Better service.
Yes, I think that's it.
Better options, more personal attention?
Yes.
Wait, now you're throwing
There's three of them.
There's three.
Lower cost, better options, more customer service. I think
more customer service,
better
lower payments, better options, more personal attention.
God damn it!
Print that out. I'm going to write it really big.
Why do I never have it in the copy? Of course, they're getting a 2-minute commercial now. That's why they're getting so many tips. They're on the whole show. They have over 500 5-star reviews because they always put you first. 72% of Hall Financial's business is a referral. Realtors trust them. Their clients love them, and they shop around for rates. That's why you'll save more money on a refi if Hall can make it work for you. And they do try to make it work. There's a couple people who've said, literally, I couldn't get my mortgage. I had this 2009 thing, you know, when the economy sucked and I had a boo-boo and they fought for me and they made my wife's dream come true, putting our small child and us in a home that we own and we're so happy. So, you know, this is a big deal. And if you already own a home and you've got a mortgage, it's a way to find money by refinancing. So try Hall Financial out. See what they can do for you. They'd love to try. 248-308-5000 or go to drewandmike.hallfg.com. You won't be disappointed. NMLS number 1467435. And Luke Nowacki is doing his thing, too. I don't think I can forget what Luke does today because Luke is all about the same thing, helping you plan your financial future. And that's what they do at Pinnacle Wealth Strategies. Is they're looking for whether it's college, a couple kids in their teens, and you're thinking, oh, boy, we really haven't put enough away. Figuring out a plan, what do you need to do?
Where
are you spending too much money? Is there a 401k you can get in? Is there, you know, all these things that maybe you don't give enough thought to? Or what are you invested in your 401k? Could you do better? Should you be more aggressive? Are you too aggressive? Call Luke Nowacki and work on your financial plan now, 248 663 4748. He'd love to fix it for you. Security Investment Advisory Services offered through Loyal Alliance Associates Incorporated. Member FINRA SIPC. Royal Alliance Associates Incorporated is separately owned and other entities and or marketing names, products, services, reference here. Independent. Royal Alliance Associates Incorporated.
Huge day in the market today, too.
Oh, what now?
No, it was good.
Oh, good day. Okay.
Almost all of them are up 2%.
Well, I heard the Republicans were going to fight the Mexico tariffs.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that only makes sense. But
yeah, I mean, like, really.
You never know.
Them.
Well, yesterday the NASDAQ got killed because antitrust rumors with Apple and
Google. That's scary. What's the market at now?
Oh, boy, I don't know.
Luke likes
don't be economic girly man.
25,332.
Yeah, it's down. See, a lot of people, you know, and I know I used to watch the market and go, oh, my God, the market's down 500. I must have lost, you know, how many dollars
zoom
did
out.
You lose? And Luke says, no, the rocky part doesn't bother me at all because sometimes you can buy on those.
Yeah,
you know,
the dip.
If it's a real dip and it's something that you know isn't real, you know, I think the feeling was when the Chinese tariffs came that this isn't going to be forever. When this thing ends, you're going to get a bounce, which I think in theory is correct. I just don't know.
China!
Going to end anytime soon. But
I don't want to scare people
someone
away.
Someone's been watching Susie Orman.
No,
all right,
the market's something you have to do over the long term. Yeah. If you want to go in the market for 2 years and make money, don't go in the market for 2 years because you might lose money.
Mm.
If it's money you're going to need in the next 5 years, you probably should have that money in a safe place.
The casino.
Yeah, the casino, double your paycheck. I mean, doubling your paycheck is always safe.
So, well, yeah, you're doubling it. All right, here's a guy getting pulled over. What jurisdiction is this?
On the vehicle itself.
Vehicle. I got to start calling cars vehicles.
Display. And make contact with the driver.
Traffic stop.
Now, we've had two exciting ones in a row, so keep that in mind. But it's the first episode.
Hi there. You know why I'm stopping you? You got two different plates under your vehicle. Is there a reason for that?
And pause.
Look at that face.
It's a girl.
Take a picture of that TV, Brandon. Look at that face.
She's probably, what, 27?
Yeah. Yeah.
She's kind of cute. By the way, she's going to bend over, and you're going to be seeing her boobs to some degree. And I was trying to think, is this intentional? Is she trying to curry some favor from this guy?
Hopefully.
But her license, didn't he say her license plate is altered?
He said there were two of them.
Two of them.
Yeah, something's really weird here.
But it also looks like that's news to her.
Yeah, she does.
Look at her face.
She looks genuinely puzzled by this revelation. Now, is she really genuinely puzzled, or is she up to no good? Any thoughts on what is about to transpire?
I have a prediction. It's her boyfriend's car.
Great prediction.
Yeah.
Great prediction.
It's actually my car, but I bought it for her.
Mark?
I mean, it's my car. I pay for everything. I pay for everything around here, right?
She looks genuinely stunned about that. So it's not her car. But there's something else going on here.
Yeah, she looks pretty together. She's very well made up. She looks like an attractive girl on the way to work. I did, when she bent over, though, and the boobs kind of popped out, I thought, that doesn't really look like someone going to the office.
Oh, so she's a stripper? Well, prostitute?
I didn't say that, but I haven't lost credibility with that part yet.
We haven't judged based on her
grammar.
Accent or...
I know, I'm asking a lot of you guys.
Grammar. I don't know why grammar matters.
I think I smelled a rat pretty early.
You know why I'm stopping you?
But I saw
you
more than you did.
You got two different plates under your vehicle. Is there a reason for that?
I have no idea. I have no idea.
Is this your car?
Yeah, this is my car. It's been broke down in front of my mom's house for the last year. I've only had it back for like 2 weeks.
That sounds like a lie.
Well, you got one plate on the front that doesn't match the plate on the back. The plate on the back comes back to like a Chevy Malibu, and this is not a Chevy Malibu.
Oh, boy.
Oh my.
Fake.
And the plate on the front actually matches the car, but it's canceled. So, let me see your driver's license, registration, insurance. Are you on probation or parole?
I'm on probation.
Of course.
Probation?
Everybody
misdemeanor or felony? Felony for what?
Possession charge.
What were you using?
Meth.
Oh, okay.
Boy.
Okay.
Okay.
When's the last time you used?
Pause.
Great comeback story, though. She looks great for
meth hasn't.
User.
She's about to tell us that she hasn't done meth for months, and she's turned her life around.
Spoiler: there's meth in the car.
Do you think there's meth in the vehicle?
100%.
Brandon,
in her purse.
I think there's meth somewhere. Yeah.
On her person or in her purse?
There is a big.
I just wanted to say on her
right
person.
Next to her.
You think it's in on her person?
I'm gonna go wild card. I bet you it's in like the cup holder, like a foil wrapping.
Brandon?
I'm guessing with that purse. She's got a massive purse in the passenger seat. Something's in there.
Okay. And do you think that she has a needle?
Oh, come on. Yeah, of course.
Well, since you brought
it
up.
Go ahead. Saying.
Oh, it's been a few months.
A few months? Okay, so just so I'm clear, this is your vehicle.
Yes.
What's going on with the plate then on the back?
See, the boob's starting to make an appearance here.
Okay, I'm going to be completely honest.
Oh, that's a nice tattoo on her boob.
A friend of mine that I was staying with in Nampa when I got out on probation, he is an avid user, and he went a little crazy because I didn't want to be with him. And I'm going to assume that if I have two different plates on my car, it had something to do with him.
Okay. Brandon, you were right.
So it is your vehicle. Obviously, you're responsible for it. If you're driving it, you're required to have insurance, current registration that matches the vehicle. Is there anything I should be worried about in the car? Without reaching.
I'm sorry. I might have a knife, but that's
okay,
it.
Don't reach for your knife. Just stop.
Okay, pause for a second. You know what else she has? The longest ash in a cigarette I've ever seen.
It's really long. I saw cops where this guy was talking to a cop in a hotel room, and he was complaining about, I think it was a dispute between him and a dude over some money, and this guy had a longer ash than that. If
what?
You believe
impossible.
That. Yeah, because it was impossible to stop watching the cigarette. It was like, when is that ash going to fall? Oh, when my it, God, okay, is this guy a magician or what?
Now I want to know, when does that ash fall?
It's definitely worth noting that when she was talking about that she might have a knife.
Yes.
Why was the knife in her bra and she kept touching her
boobs? She reached in and cupped both breasts with her right hand while she was saying that she might have a knife.
Nice.
And the way, when he said, is there anything in the car to be worried about, she looked around really fast like, oh, God, there's got to be something here I should tell him about.
Look,
I mean,
why do you have to look around your car? Don't you know what is in it?
I know. That's what I mean. This is, she's just bad news. You can tell already. And also, the other bummer that you're going to see is there's a child seat in the back.
That's not her car.
No, it is her car. Her boyfriend had it for a while, though, and he's the one that was doing meth. Oh, he's a big user.
So
and
he wanted to screw her over by putting me.
She's also going to reveal later on in this.
Oh, don't spoil it.
Okay.
I want to know how this story ends.
Is it in your bra?
I'm not sure where it is, to be completely honest with you, but I know it's not. My PO checked it, and he told me it was okay.
Okay.
Sure would think you'd know if it was in your bra.
No, sir. Okay.
So I got a female officer here. I'm going to have her get that knife out of your bra, then I'm going to talk to you some more, okay? She's got a knife in her bra. If you can, she was reaching for it for a second there.
Okay. All right, she's got. Is she gonna try and like grab some meth and hide it or something here?
I don't know. She's funny. She's
that right arm looks like it's gonna wants to search for something.
It looks like there's some. She's making the Drew and Mike logo with her.
Oh,
right.
Oh yeah.
Hand.
Well,
but it looks like she's got something in those fingers. Possibly. I didn't pause.
Oh,
him,
like she's cupping. Like,
big
yeah.
boobs.
But she's putting her hands up while she's sitting in the car. I mean, it just seems a little dramatic. Although, I mean, there's somebody coming to search her.
Step out of the car, okay?
I have to look back at the plate. She's got two plates on the car.
She's really bummed now.
Step back over here,
would
okay?
you, by the way?
I don't think so.
It's got an okay body.
It looks pretty skanky.
I don't know if it's in my bra.
Oh, there's the dog. Damn it.
Okay, I'm going to put handcuffs on. You're not under arrest. You're going to be detained. Do you understand that?
Oh, it's a good boy.
6668. Should be on a Saturn Ion black in color.
Positive alert from the dog. Alert.
Positive alert. I got to write that one down.
Right inside the bag is a loaded needle.
Oh, boy.
She told me she uses methamphetamine. She claims a few months ago.
Looks like a taser.
Whoa. So, Ashley, I just want to go over a couple things with you, okay? So you do have the right to remain silent.
Okay, pause a second. Do you think she'd be cooperative at this point? Is she going to try and kiss ass and get out of it, or is she going to just lose it?
It's not going to be hers.
That's not my needle.
Oh, she's not. No, not. She hasn't. Believe me, she will never acknowledge doing anything wrong. But she's either going to be a good sport about
you know
this,
what,
or she's going to not be such a good sport.
I want to say she's not, but she looks kind of like a defeated person at times. So.
She really did when she got out of the car. It was like oh,
I'm
fuck.
Screwed,
All right.
Yeah, tell us that story, bitch.
Anything you say, Candy, will be used against you in court. You have the right to talk to an attorney.
Whoa! Stop! Nah. Why am I being arrested right now?
Because you're.
I didn't know you could stop Miranda rights by going no. Is that in a legal book somewhere?
That is a chick thing, by the way. You'll never see a guy who does that. Chicks seem to think. Have you noticed how many chicks try to like squirm out of handcuffs and that like they'll like no, don't cuff me. I'm not ready to be cuffed yet. And I don't know why. It seems like with hot chicks, especially, they've talked themselves out of so much bullshit that I notice that a lot more with women. I'm not trying to pick on women, just saying.
That's right. Lock her up.
In handcuffs, you're not free to go, and I'm investigating a crime right now.
What crime?
I'll tell you, for at least paraphernalia, okay?
What paraphernalia?
So,
I don't understand why I'm being arrested right now. Okay. I didn't do anything wrong.
So this is why you're under arrest.
What is that?
What do you think it is?
I don't know.
My insulin.
It was in your purse. In your purse.
That's not my purse. That's not even my bag.
That's not her bag. Okay. That's
why is it in your car?
Very, I didn't do it.
Very interesting where this is going, because she's going to reference something else that's in her bag. And they go, oh, you mean the bag that wasn't yours?
Oh, I thought you knew.
I know. Heads up. This is going
to
get shitty.
I'm not allowed to stand up for myself. I thought this was America. Huh? Isn't this America? I'm sorry.
Okay.
I thought
it's
this
in
was
your
America.
Car, sitting right next to you. You're in constructive possession of it. Okay. So there's a couple of things. What's this thing?
It's a taser. You're a cop. You should know what a taser is.
Okay, where did I have that come from?
It's in the bag. I gave it to my sister.
The same bag that I got this out of?
I don't know.
Okay.
I'm working. I have my kid. I just got him back.
Oh,
I'm going to get a PV for this. I can't go back to jail.
Okay.
That's not even mine.
What's in it?
I have no idea.
What do you think is in it?
I wouldn't know. I don't know.
Okay. You told me that you used methamphetamine a few months ago, right?
I do.
Okay, how did you use it?
If you're her, why don't you just say, oh, yeah, you know what? I put that in my bag a few months ago. I forgot it was in there.
Well, she's going to claim here that she was smoking meth, which, come on.
Well, you can smoke meth.
I know you can, but.
She's basically a disaster.
She is.
I was smoking. I wasn't even shooting this time.
Okay.
I'm assuming that since everyone in my house is a meth user, it's probably some type of meth.
Oh, that's a good environment for you to live in.
Okay.
How'd she get her kid back?
So this officer is going to search you incident to arrest. And if there's anything else on your person, we need to know now.
I don't even have any pockets. All my clothes are skin tight.
Nice.
So I'm just going to squirt a little bit of this liquid in here and do a field test.
I'm not even going to ask you.
See if I get any sort of
positive.
Presumptive alert. It's very dangerous. Officers get stuck with them all the time, just like nurses. Got to be very careful. So we got a presumptive positive alert for methamphetamine in the syringe.
What a surprise.
And confirm one thing on the taser. Hey, Ashley. Okay. Basically, what I have right now is possession of methamphetamine in the syringe and tested presumptive positive. Okay.
This is ridiculous.
Okay. And then the syringe is obviously used for using drugs, it's paraphernalia, so you're going to get a paraphernalia charge as well.
This is ridiculous.
We need that drop.
Twice a week. I have my kid.
That's good. Ridiculous.
I work. I'm not doing everything I'm supposed to do. Why would I have that with me?
Hey, Ashley.
I'm trying.
Work with me. I work with you.
Do you want me to do? It's not mine.
Okay. Ashley, if you work with me, I'll help you with probation, okay?
I don't care about that right now. That's not my
better.
Concern. My concern is my children. Please, just go so we can do this.
Okay.
Just go.
She's a world-class liar.
The last thing I want to do is be a fucking homeless prostitute in the fucking street doing meth.
Whoa, separated.
She's a total failure.
Very much.
It was a great separated birth.
Maybe it's her.
Wow.
Maybe it's her.
You know, on the thing about, you know, don't read my right.
She would not be my first choice, that I can tell.
No, she wouldn't be his first choice. Also, I've noticed this about intervention. When you have a hot young female and they're like a heroin junkie or pill junkie or whatever, they are the most stubborn junkies of all, because I assume this is because they're just used to always getting yes, yes, yes.
Oh, yeah.
They're not used to having people say no to them because they're super hot. And they tend to be unapologetic about it. Like, I like the way it makes me feel. Fuck you. Because most of those people will say, yeah, I've been doing this for 3 years. My life is sunk. Mm-hmm. You know, when they really are being honest. But those, I notice this, just some of the super hot ones will be like, I like the way it feels. It's the only thing that makes me feel good. And I'm going to do it as long as I want to do it.
Ugh.
And how quickly they cross the line to prostitution blows my mind, too, because, there's always that money issue, and it's easy.
Yeah, that's an easy way to
make it. You've been doing drugs for 2 days with Pedro Guerrero.
This woman, she's a basket case.
I mean, I assume.
How does she even get on television?
I would certainly do the same thing. Why not?
Well, yeah, if you're a chick.
Put out a little bit. I mean, if you love the drug enough,
Come on. You're already that close to rock bottom.
A dick's a dick's a dick.
Yeah. Well, I might as well make some money off of it.
Yeah.
I have no problem with that. There's been talk, by the way, of legalizing some prostitution, I think, in Massachusetts.
Yeah, I saw that.
Now that gambling is pretty much that vice is not as bad anymore.
It seems like, you know, where there is legalized prostitution, it seems like it works better than just picking these girls up and arresting them and letting them back out.
Keep them tested, keep them clean, tax the living shit out of it.
And that's, you know, that's the part of the border that is so stupid sometimes, is this catch and release, catch, send them home. I mean, we have to do it. There's got to be a better way to do stuff like that.
All right, so let me get this straight. So I'm going to pay for a blowjob and I got to pay for a goddamn hotel room too? Well, that just seems like I'm spending too much money for nothing. I got a house. You can just get your ass over here and I can just do the blowjob here.
The blowjob.
I'm trying to remember where I saw... Oh, I know where it was. I was watching another fabulous piece of programming, Locked Up Abroad.
Yeah.
And this guy was in...
That's a scary show.
It is a very scary show. You know, and if you're looking for drugs in a foreign country, don't bring them home. Don't go, oh, I can't throw this away.
What? Just do them.
People, sometimes it's so cheap, people buy too much.
Don't do it.
Anyway, there's this guy.
Then mail it.
Real quick, when I was in, I think it was.
I'd say mail it before you carry it yourself.
Yeah.
I was in Cancun. And this guy stopped by me and my buddy's room, and he goes, we had no idea who he was. And he's like, dude, I'm on my way to, going back home, going to America. I got a little bit of weed. You want this stuff? Because I'm just going to throw it away. Oh, okay, sure. Oh, and he ends up giving us like this sack of like, it was like 3 ounces. Like, here you go. Just this monster sack of weed. Just because he didn't want to take it to the airport. Of course, you don't want to try to bring that stuff back to the Americas. He's just this monster. It's like, oh my God, what are we going to do with this?
It's amazing you found the right room.
Well, I mean, we ended up giving it away.
I didn't know you smoked that much. That's wild. How many days did you have left?
Yeah, he didn't have to give it to anybody on his way out.
I think we had 5 days left, but it was
smoke a half an ounce a day.
What'd you do the other 4 days?
No, we didn't. We did not consume all of that marijuana.
Hey.
Okay. But you consumed a lot of it, I bet. Bet you had a good time.
It was we were overseas.
I don't speak Spanish.
We were overseas.
Yeah. Overseas, you were in Cancun.
It was overseas. Yeah, got to
get overseas.
It's over the Caribbean Sea.
Give me a break.
You crossed over some water somewhere.
That was my youth. I was a young college student back then.
That's why he's overseas an excuse. Anyway.
He didn't know where it was in the map. He just knew there was water and it was fun.
And free weed.
What more did he need to know?
And that's how you got into marijuana, from that guy, because you're just being friendly.
I went to Jamaica when I was about 27 or 28, and... For some reason, probably because I was single at the time.
Right near the beach. Boy!
This travel agent is showing me, and I'm finally starting to make some money. I was working at WAAF in Boston. I wasn't making a ton of money, but I was making, I wasn't making
$113.
I wasn't making $113 a week like I was at WVVV when I was 23, a college graduate. I mean, clearing $113 a week. Anyway, in Boston, I'm starting to make some money. I'm like, I got a week off. Coming up, I want to go somewhere exciting. And I called a buddy of mine, he was in Washington, D.C. I knew him from VaTech. And he's like, I always want to go to Jamaica. And I was like, Jamaica, that sounds like fun. And of course, I'm thinking great weed.
Yeah.
And then he mentions, there's this place called Hedonism. It's fucking wild, man. The chicks put out, and it's all you can drink. And at 26, 27, yeah, you're like, that sounds crazy. So I said, travel. And she's like, yeah, it's like, you know, $1,000, and it's all you can eat and all you can drink. And all I could think of was, wow, how could you beat that? Where else would I want to go? Does everyone go there? Is it crowded? It must be. I mean, it just seemed like everyone would go.
How do they have occupancy?
So, yeah. Are you sure they have a room? So anyway, we went, and it was insane, of course. But on the bus there from the airport, there were like 15, it was like 10 guys and 5 girls, and they were all from the same neighborhood in the Bronx.
Oh, boy.
And they were already just hammered. I mean, they were out of control. And they were the kind of people that were hilarious to watch, but not really to be part of. Yeah.
There were a bunch of people from the Bronx.
Yeah, they were just passed out all over the place at nighttime. I mean, they were just nuts, puking constantly and just generally raising hell. Anyway, one of them on the way back, who I was talking to on the bus, we're like standing right next to each other, getting ready to go through. I think we were checking our bag or something, and And he made some comment about some pot, and I think we had both gotten some. And he's like, "Oh yeah,
the dope.
That stuff was incredible." And I go, "Yeah, I know. I hated to have to flush it down the toilet." He's like, "You flush it down. You flush it down the toilet? What are you, crazy?" And I go, "Well, what did you do with yours?" He goes, "It's in my pocket." I'm like, "What? We're about to go through security." Yeah. Oh my God, and I'm right next to this guy. And he did not, he just thought, "I don't have a worry in the world." And he just blew through, no problem. Nobody checked him. Confidence. No hassle. I know, but it just was so stupid.
What year was that?
It's like, oh, that is nice. That is nice.
I would say 87, yeah. 88, somewhere in there. And oh my God, was it? Oh, people got so drunk.
Do they really check for? I mean, they don't find guns half the time. Do they really find that much?
Well, you have to empty your pockets now.
Yeah, and they have dogs.
Neither one of us had ever been there. Wait, that's my point.
Somebody out there.
You don't know what's. I mean, are you really going to go through international for Jamaica, security yeah. with drugs in your pocket? It just seems like a bad idea. But he's like, "Hey, man, this shit's great. This would cost, you know, $50 at home. I'm going to throw it out."
Those dogs working at TSA, they're sniffing for bombs, right? They're not sniffing for bombs.
Now they are much more interested in explosives and yeah. anything like that than they are about drugs. But I think
it's not worth the risk yeah. in my mind. But
no.
How was the food there in Jamaica?
Oh, it was good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Come back to Jamaica at Picklin' Parrot. There's jerk chicken and other choice Caribbean fare. Hey, Mom. See you there.
I want to go to Jamaica right now.
So do I.
I know, it does sound like fun, doesn't it? We had a great time there. You know, when we came to Riff, Ken Calvert and Lynn Woodison had a Jamaica Me Crazy or some kind of promotion. I don't remember exactly. And they'd given away probably 40 trips to Jamaica. And then Ken left. And when Zip and I came in that first week, they're like, "We're going to Jamaica in a week. And you're going with the winners."
Well, I remember you telling me.
And we were like, "What?" And maybe it was after 2 weeks. And it just seemed like the last thing in the world I need is to go on a trip with people who are probably going, "What the fuck happened to Ken Calvert?" And anyway, it was like, "You're going. Too bad."
Yeah.
And so we went. And that trip was crazy. We had a lot of fun, though. We were staying in Kingsport. Mm-hmm. And Zip and I would just pay a driver, like, what's it cost to take us over to, you know, the 7 mile island, 7 mile beach, the white sand beaches, where hedonism is and all those cool places. Sandals. And they've got some beaches too.
I'm gonna get a little high.
And you give somebody like $50 and they're yours for the day and they'll ward people off and you got us on the beach and we're parasailing and all I remember the guys kept saying, you know, We good to you. You give us a big tip. We're good to you. Give us a big tip. I mean, there's all like four different guys are like, "Yeah, is that Latch? Yeah, that's good. Now you give me a good tip."
And how annoying.
I know. But
they're doing their job to make sure you're latched into a parasail.
I know. Like there should be a giant tip. Yeah. So anyway, I remember the whole time I was parasailing going, "God, I'm going to tip all these dudes. Jesus Christ." And anyway, it was really fun. We had a ball every time we went over there. And that's when Zip jumped off the cliff at Rick's Cafe. Yeah. And he actually injured his hip. And I swear to God, for months, he's like, "Fuck, my hip is still hurting me." Because he hit the water too hard. He was hammered.
Long jump, just man.
Hammered. Yeah, it's like a 65-foot jump. And everyone does it. I don't know how there isn't, like, if you go to Wikipedia, Rick's Cafe. Yeah, 29 Americans have been killed over the years jumping the cliff at Rick's Cafe. But Zip jumped, and he landed. You know, you need to go feet first. And somehow he landed on his ass and just got his hip creamed.
Oh, check it out.
But there was a giant splash.
This is it right here?
Rick's?
Yeah.
Oh, man, that looks fun. Look at the crowd. Come on, someone jump. Oh, there's some jump. That's not that far.
Well, that's just a smaller
that's not
ledge.
That, that's
oh,
not
that's
the,
a higher
ledge. That's a bigger ledge.
There's,
we need to do a live broadcast.
You, people are so fucked up there. I mean, you got all these Americans just hammered off their ass. Well,
that was a big jump.
That's a big, yeah. That's
like
a fun.
Pretty good jump. Yeah, it's fun. I'd probably do it again. I remember too. We got pot like the first day.
Yeah.
And I think we smoked in somebody's room at like 4 p.m. I was supposed to meet Clark for dinner, and I called him at like 5:30. And he just rang and rang and rang and rang and rang. And the next day when he came to the show, he's like, "Trish and I passed out at like 4:45 and we woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning." He just fell right asleep and was just out, just out. It was insane pot.
Oh, wow. Yeah. God, that sounds fun.
It was a good time. So, Charles wrote us an email about the guy who found the dump in his girlfriend's toilet.
Yeah.
That she was cheating on him because it was a giant dump. And he was like, that has to be some dude's dump. And it was like, no. You know, her water pressure was screwed up. And she said that if she flushed the toilet before she got in the shower, it screwed the water up.
I believe her.
So she left it there and forgot.
Yeah.
And then he found it. And apparently it was a huge dump.
Oh, Tom Masway is calling.
Oh. I hope he goes.
Hey, sorry to interrupt. Go ahead, Tom.
What time are we recording today?
Hey, guys.
Hey, Maz. What's going on?
I'm still here with the girls.
How's Lily?
Lily's, they're still checking her out. She's under observation. She's definitely...
What happened to her?
Playing soccer, and some boy rocketed a ball and hit her right in the face and snapped her neck, and down she went.
Wait, so...
Boys will be boys.
Did it knock her out?
She got up, she said, but she was dizzy right away and nauseous.
Is it just her head or is her neck injured?
Her head and then her neck snapped. So she's downstairs under observation.
Wait,
did she
walk in under her own power?
Yes.
Oh. Okay.
Yes.
So,
She called me from school to tell me what happened. And right away, I kind of, you know, obviously that's a sign of concussion. So I called the AD there.
Wait, calling your father right away is a sign of concussion?
Yes, I knew right away. Daddy.
Well, the convenient thing is that you were already at the hospital with Abby.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But here's the kicker. It's not the hospital that we're close to. We're close to Grosse Pointe one. This one is out in Royal Oak. So I had Grandma pick her up from school and just bring her here. Well, might as well do two for one, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So that's what we got going.
So Grandma's there too?
Grandma's downstairs with Lily and... Kathy, and I'm up here with Abby.
She should get checked out. Everyone should get checked out while you're there.
How about this? Monsignor from St. Joan came to visit Abby today. And, of course, while he was here, I told him about Lily, so he went down and gave Lily a quick blessing.
Is that a shout-out?
That does sound like a shout-out.
To the Monsignor?
If you're going to blunk out of it, Monsignor at St. Joan, then I'm going to be mad.
We weren't going to until you said that.
Okay. If you don't say it again, we might leave it unbleeped.
Okay, thank you.
You know, you did just say Monsignor. You didn't throw his name in there, so I guess we'll
I did not.
Yeah. Maz, how big is the quid pro quo from Vinny from Sponge and the Orbitsons? Because you told me to wear the Orbitsons T-shirt for Facebook Live, and it was the day the Detroit News photographer was here, so the picture was seen by many, many, many people.
I know.
Cool.
Amazing. Vinny was so happy. He said, you know, first of all, he loves you. Second of all, he's like, I'm putting this all over social media for the Orbitsons and Sponge. So, he's just so happy for your success, obviously.
Cool.
Well, I'm a big fan of Vinny's. He rules. And
he's
love that he's still here. And I feel like Sponge, things should be bigger for Sponge. They should be on some, you know, retro nostalgia tour with the right bands.
Doing one.
They've done some. Yeah. I just think, you know, it's like Howard Stern was talking about how much he loves that song. You heard it working out. And I'm the same way. When I get around to Sponge, which is about every couple years, I'll hear Molly or something. And I go, oh, my God. I got to go on that Sponge album.
Good.
And there's like, seriously, there's probably 7 or 8 Sponge songs I just love.
I know. I didn't realize how big they were, because obviously that wasn't my kind of music back in the day. But, you know, they're damn good.
Yeah, they were an international band, and they were a strong 90s band, and they should have been bigger. But
because of the whole fiasco of me asking you 4 hours before the St. Joan Fair to introduce them, he said he'd like you to introduce Sponge the next time they do something.
Okay. Just give me notice.
I will.
I love Sponge.
I know.
So they have an enthusiastic crowd. It doesn't sound like their best gig, maybe, to play at St. Joan of Arc, but I could be wrong.
It was a great crowd, so it probably isn't their top one, but you know, a lot of people out there dancing.
Miss, some people said that at the bingo, there was a picture of you at bingo, that you didn't look like your happy, ebullient self. Was there something going on at bingo?
Well, I had a great time, but, you know, I was getting yelled at by all these senior citizens, and, you know, it's not easy. It's not an easy gig.
I think it's up there on ease of gigs, though.
It is.
Yeah.
It is a It's a good. I did call a couple of wrong numbers.
What's
easier? I called a couple of wrong numbers, like I usually do. And they will.
You're the one making it a hard gig.
They will hang you.
So what's easier, doing that, calling the numbers, or doing a podcast once a week, or returning a call from a customer at Zot?
I would say, just shut up. Leave me alone. Just leave me alone, Mark.
Oh, man. It's not been your week.
No.
But, you know, last night we were texting, and when I realized, because first, you know, when you said Abby's in the hospital, it's like, oh, my God, you know, you go through the thing like, oh, my God, is this something horrible, horrible?
And Abby!
And it was something scary, but she was turning the corner, and I could tell your sense of humor was intact. So I asked via text if The Bachelor was on in ICU. Surely The Bachelor's on. And you said, no, just Batman reruns.
That's
so
it.
I didn't really know. Did you get to see The Bachelor?
I did not.
You did not. Okay.
I did not. Well, but you know what?
It's recorded here.
I know. I want to watch it with you, obviously. I thought I was going to watch it with you today.
It'll have to be a double feature next Tuesday, I guess.
I guess it will.
Well, Tommy,
I guess it will.
On that note, are you excited about Robert Pattinson being the new Batman? Are you excited for that?
You know what? I'm up for anyone to be Batman. You know that? Just bring him on.
Yeah.
I was even happy with George Clooney, you know, so I was okay with all of them.
Ben Affleck?
I'm an Adam West guy, you know that.
Right, right. Well, this one, a lot of internet people are very upset because obviously he was in Twilight. He's kind of been
Who cares?
I bet he'll be good. I bet he'll be good.
Yeah, because he's an actor.
Yeah.
And as long as you have that cape and cowl, and you'll be fine.
As long as he doesn't have to talk so deep, like, not Val Kilmer, who was the last guy?
The Dark Knight. Christian Bale?
Yeah, who was the last?
Christian Bale for the eighth time.
Yeah, Bale. Yeah, sorry, I didn't hear you, man.
I know, it's okay. Tom, did you think about breaking away from the hospital to do the podcast today?
Yeah, I totally wasn't.
He was
Lily got concussed.
Oh, okay. That threw the.
I'm only 10 minutes away.
So were you very helpful when she got there?
Was I very what?
Helpful. I mean, were you needed when she came in?
Well, yeah, I got to be here for my kids. If someone's with Abby, someone's got to be with Lil.
Are you
and Grandma? But Grandma and Kathy are there.
True.
I know, but I'm the parent.
Way to knock down Grandma's responsibility.
Daddy. Grandma's doing great. Without Grandma, we're not a team.
Do you guys have shifts though, where somebody goes home and sleeps for a few hours?
Yeah, last night I relieved Grandma. I went home with the kids, so Grandma could go home.
Okay.
But 2 nights in the hospital is enough for me.
You've slept in the hospital both nights?
Oh, you're making me look bad.
Did Kathy?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Really?
I had the chair. She had the pull-out. Yeah.
Ooh.
The chair kind of sucks.
Well, actually, you know, Abby's was, I mean, that was a real scary thing.
That was
she had
scary,
just a
yeah.
crazy.
I literally was up till like 6:15 the next morning with her before I even closed my eyes. I mean, that was very scary.
Hey, I was trying to ask you and I've developed a theory as to why, but I was trying to ask you on text a couple times and then I just stopped about like what it was that she had. So did you not tell me because you just didn't want me to know or because you didn't know how to spell it?
Because I didn't know what it was at that time.
Okay. That's fair. Yeah. You were just avoiding the question because I wanted to read about it.
I know. You're very good. I didn't want you to call me and say, it's really bad, you know.
Oh, I wouldn't. Come on. I wouldn't do that.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
You know, us doctors, when we have to read up about our stuff,
but
you know, it's the worst thing to do is to read up about anything.
Yeah, it sucks. And they don't like it either because when their patients start to think they're more knowledgeable or as knowledgeable as the doctors, it can be tricky. Just curious, though, a lot of people assumed that you would get the skinny on Dan Gilbert. Have you visited him and had a conversation yet?
I have not. I have not gone down to his floor yet, but thanks for reminding me.
He'll be there. He'll just wander into this room.
Yeah, just go in and say hi. I guess he's very sociable, generally speaking. He's not a reclusive guy at all.
Just
he's
like
very welcome.
Just like the Blaine incident.
I go in there, maybe I get put the phone up for him, and maybe he'll say hi to you.
Yeah, but say you're from JR. That usually works for you.
Well, JR. Hey, no, we've had him on back in the day on 105.1.
Oh, he's got an open door policy. I know.
No question.
Generally speaking, I think you're pretty safe going down there.
And hey, how was Wetzel? How was Dan?
Dan was.
He wasn't there when we called. I thought you set it up. What was the problem?
I did.
Oh.
So did he finally call in?
No, he never called.
Mess, don't listen to him.
Just kidding. He
called.
Great.
He was awesome. He's always great.
I know.
He's actually one of my favorite people to interview. I wish he covered more things that we that fit our show.
Yeah.
He gets around pretty much.
He does.
He gets around.
No, he's good. And I thought that the it's interesting he's covering Kellen Winslow because it seems like no one's covering it, and it's a story that's fast. I still don't understand that. I know he didn't either. But
wow, what a fascinating guy! I saw the first 3 minutes of Facebook Live before I had to shut it down. But you started getting into it.
Wait, so, why'd you have to shut it down?
Because the doctor came in.
Oh, he doesn't want to watch the show?
Well, you guys were talking about masturbation and stuff.
Oh, so you shut it down.
I shut it down.
When the doctor starts getting into stuff that's still a little peripheral and unnecessary, are you inclined to think about going into your phone?
No. I have never chased something down to the doctor's phone.
What if Kathy was asking questions that you weren't interested in? Would you feel it was okay to go into your phone?
Well, when Kathy starts taking, when she takes over a room, Kathy, I go on my phone.
Yeah, that's what he means.
You might as well. Yeah, I mean, that's what I meant. So if she's
out of the conversation. Oh, right. Yeah, I was on the phone with the doctor. There's no question. No question.
Yeah, it's the same thing when I'm traveling with Matt Riley. I turn my brain off. I realize I don't have to do anything. I'm a total passenger. So that's a good feeling. It's a good feeling to have for you to have a spouse like that is even better. It's awesome.
Hey, June 27th, we're going to be at, Fifth Ave?
Mm-hmm. That's right, Fifth Avenue. Maz will be...
Killer Kowalski.
Yep, Maz will be bartending along with us. Yeah. And Double E from Fox 2.
And Blaine Fowler.
From 96.3.
I think you're on Blaine's shift.
Oh, yeah, that's great, man.
Should we arrange maybe just sort of a kangaroo court of some kind?
No. Yeah. We're good. You know who I talked to the other man, what? Johnny in the Morning.
This is Kangaroo Court.
Wait, what?
Johnny in the Morning?
My man Johnny in the Morning from 96.3 called me.
Oh, is he bartending too?
No, he's not bartending, but he just wanted to say hi and see what was up.
Oh, how's Johnny in the Morning doing since no one knows
what was up? What does that mean?
He heard through the grapevine.
So what do we owe Johnny now? What'd you put us up for? What do we have to do?
He has to say hi to you. Johnny wants to come on the show and say hi to you guys.
And did you promise him?
Yeah, I did. I said, no problem.
I feel confident Maz suggested it was more likely than it was.
Yeah, probably.
I said, I'll see what I can do.
Well, Trudy knows Johnny.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, of course. They worked a couple of times together.
Mm-hmm. I know it was a couple times.
Yeah, a couple of different cities they
Is
worked
that
together.
So? Well.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what I'm understanding.
No, you're probably right. So, Maz, we will look forward to next Tuesday. We'll have a double bachelor feature.
No, I'll come in tomorrow. It's all right. I'll just come in tomorrow.
Trudy's here. Tomorrow's Wednesday.
Trudy's here tomorrow.
She don't mind. I'll sit next to her.
Well, if you can work it out with her on your own.
What about the kids? How are the kids? You know?
Yeah, the kids need you.
I'm hoping the kids are going to be good by then. Lily's got to be okay at least.
You could have at least sent Graham over today. I mean,
I know.
No,
I
could three adults.
I can still make it all.
I don't think you want to rush the kids home. I say what, work it out with Trudy if there's any questions, and tell her to text me if you're coming in or she's coming in.
Grandma's coming in the room now. Hey, Grandma.
Has Grandma been on her phone eating up all your data?
No, Grandma is still at 0.03.
Oh, poor Grandma. All right, Maz, good luck with the girls. I'm sure they're going to be great. I know they will.
Thanks, Drew.
Yeah,
thanks,
send her the best.
Thank you.
Very adorable.
Miss you guys.
Miss you, Maz. It was an adorable picture, by the way, of Abby sleeping.
Yeah.
Aww.
Maybe that should be the show picture. If you're okay with it, we can use it for the show picture.
I don't think so.
Okay. All right.
I don't think so.
All right.
I'll tell you what. I'll send the picture of the girls when they were young. How's that?
No, why?
No, we don't want. We don't want that. That's not going to be a show picture.
Doesn't make any sense.
Let me pass it through with Kathy first. She's the boss.
Okay. If you want to get a picture of the two girls at the hospital, can they visit each other?
Oh, yeah. They were FaceTiming each other before.
Yeah, if you can get something like that, that would be appropriate.
Are you talking about the picture that's split with the Incredibles on the bottom? Because I didn't understand that picture. Why are the Incredibles half the picture
and your daughter's
the other half?
Each kid's door here on this floor has a different painting.
Mm-hmm.
Abby's in the room with the Incredibles.
Yeah.
Spider-Man is just two rooms down. I was pissed that we didn't get that room.
You didn't get the Spider-Man suite.
Maz, I feel the same way. When I take Madeline to her appointments, there's this awesome room that has a huge Mario.
Oh.
And I always want the Mario room, and I never get it.
Hey, be happy you have the Incredibles. I was in a closet when I went with Annie. So.
I always get Thomas the Train or some bullshit.
Kids love Thomas.
What a load. That's
I never got
crap.
Into Thomas.
No, well, me neither, Maz.
Probably because you were in your 40s when it was popular.
Doesn't matter. I had to watch those cartoons with my kids. Come on now.
You had to?
Well, I love to. I still would. They watch them. I
you
would.
Mean, okay, well, kids generally watch a cartoon. To. They'll watch each cartoon over 150 times. Did you watch it every time?
Oh, I watched quite a number of times. You know, I like SpongeBob, of course. I still do.
Not as background, but you were directly watching.
Yes, I was directly watching.
You know the cartoon?
Exactly. I got to tell you, that's the worst thing about watching TV with kids is that Charlotte always wants to watch the same episode. And I always
over
go,
and over, yeah.
I've already seen this one. I know what happened. She goes, yeah, but I like it.
Charlotte.
I said, but there's so many other shows you could be watching. She doesn't understand that.
Yeah, it's a problem. Maz,
yeah,
good luck.
True.
We'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
We'll see.
See
you. Bye, bud.
See
ya.
All right. Tom Mazoway reporting from Beaumont Hospital on the condition of Abby and Lily. And I hate to joke around about it, but I think they're going to be
Abby.
Fine.
Yeah. Well, though,
I can't
Abby
believe
was scary.
All
that
the
was scary.
Blew over the picture. Jeez. Got to pick another picture.
Couldn't come down here for 2 hours.
Charlotte.
Only like 2 miles away. Huh?
I think
Maddie!
What?
He was,
oh, he would have.
His mind was blown by the Lily situation. He would have been here in a heartbeat.
Oh, yeah.
No, he already had plans. We were talking about he needed to watch The Bachelor.
Yeah.
So he was definitely planning to come.
I got
to
get on his health care plan.
I know. This could be another, probably a bundle of years of tuition lost. There's already 1 year, one child year lost through Tom's sore throat.
Well,
I mean, imagine what this is going to do.
They must have hit their deductible with his sore throat.
Yeah, the deductible is all chewed up by the
sore
throat
right now.
That's true. God, there's one other thing I was going to mention about
Tom.
Thomas A. Mazoway. Well, I was trying to figure out, you know, he's got to be the most part-timer
mm-hmm.
in the history of any kind of broadcasting. Because how many shows has he? I'm wondering how many shows he's missed in the last year.
Well, he'll
and
have
I'm counting
you believe,
today because he called in. That's not an appearance.
Oh,
he'll have you
count.
Believe only one.
Well, every time it comes up, he says, "I've only been on one vacation," and it's like well, no, that seems like he's
four
been on at least three.
I don't think he's missed that many days. There's always some scheduling conflict.
Yeah,
though.
He always wants to move the show around.
Yeah.
So maybe I confuse that with missing the show.
Yeah,
because
he's very demanding.
It just seems a little odd that someone who does zero preparation
yeah.
and does 1 day a week.
Do you know who I am?
That's teetering a little bit. Would
kind of a big deal.
Would want to move the show so often.
Well,
a show that he's not on four of the 5 days.
Very
indispensable.
Important.
Seems a little, I don't know, maybe a little selfish. Just a little.
Are you saying you give him an inch, he's going to take a mile?
Possibly. But it's always because he wants to go see a volleyball game
yeah.
or a softball game.
Or,
so
use
maybe,
his, or use his Tiger tickets.
So is it his selflessness that keeps him wanting to move the show?
Tiger tickets.
Well, yeah, no, I mean, has he been to his Tiger seats lately?
No, he hasn't been. I was thinking we could go tonight because they're back home.
Well, call him and offer him and see if he'll go.
I'm not sure.
Do it, please, please.
Let me see if I have the tickets yet.
Well, no, that doesn't matter. But see if he,
no, I don't
see if he's
do
available. Go to that.
I think he'll say no, and he'll spoil it. say about the wait.
Well, I want to hear about this email about the dump.
Yeah.
Oh yeah,
Charles' email is awesome.
By the way, we got a great dump story in the boner line today.
Really?
Oh, okay.
Oh, cool.
It's poop.
Well, the boner line's hopping. How many calls are you getting the last few days, Brandon?
I think right now we're getting anywhere. I'd say about 15 a day.
15 a day?
There are spikes sometimes, especially when I come in on Sundays. You know, there's a nice spike, and sometimes there's up to 50. And then the occasional, it hasn't happened in a while, but there's been times where we've had like 70 calls in one
wow.
night. Like,
positive to negative ratio lately?
Oh, I'd say 80% positive.
Oh, okay.
And then, you know, 20% negative. But most of the negative ones are kind of in a ha-ha way. So
209-66-BONER.
I've been obsessed with the iTunes ranking, which is screwed up on a lot of levels because I've been talking to a few people about it. And one thing I forgot about was, remember when we first went on it, we were just on iTunes?
Mm-hmm.
So all our downloads went to iTunes.
Mm-hmm.
So we were like ranked 30 the first week. And then we were falling through the 40s, and we were actually staying in the top 50 for way too long.
Yeah.
But we were only on iTunes.
Yeah.
So with every additional platform, we lost people on iTunes, and I'm finding out that, I know, it was a bummer, because you think you're losing people when you're not. And I'm finding out that some of these shows, like these celebrity shows, they're not on that many platforms.
Oh, so, well, know, plus we know their algorithm rewards new
audience
shows,
right?
Yeah,
which is what I was going to get to.
Subscriptions. We picked up a new subscriber, by the way.
We did.
Yeah, because I had to take Julie to the doctor, and this guy, this eye technician, I was talking to him, and he goes,
"Guess you just got reinstated."
He goes, "Hey, were you on the radio?" I said, "Yeah." And then talking to him, he found the show when it was on 105.1. He never listened to the Riff Show.
Sports radio.
Matt's his name. So I showed him how to download it. So one person at a time.
You know, it's
great
really,
guy.
Really strange.
Because he likes the show.
We got
it
a new
be
subscriber.
Terrible otherwise.
Anytime you can subscribe from another Apple ID. I mean, if it's convenient for you, if it's, I'm not telling people.
What is this, Bangladesh?
It, but I'm just saying, if you have a chance to, it does help a lot.
Why don't we just hire the guys in Bangladesh?
All right, I want you to go to every single podcast app, all 60 of them that you can find, and I want you to subscribe to every single one.
I heard from a guy who somehow got mixed up in Buzzboard. Like,
oh,
I think
yeah.
he knows people who go on Buzzboard a lot. And he said, I had always read about your show. But I don't know what happened. He had listened to it once a long, long time ago, and he just, I don't know, he just didn't, it just didn't click in with him. And he said, "I've heard so much about it, but I never really listened to it." And so he said, after the Neil Rubin article, he said, "I thought, you know, I really should listen to this show." So he listened to it anyway. He said he listened the next day, and the next day he's like, "Wow, this is, I really like this, and it's so easy to listen in the car." And he's like, "I can't believe I've been around this show for so long, and I just started listening." And I think he's in his 50s.
Like a disease would grow on you.
And then, yeah, it seems like if we can just
How else would you know what good morning dimples means unless you listen to more than
if
one?
If we can just inject one shot of heroin, we can usually keep it coming. And then there was another...
First one's always free.
A female who was, I want to say she was in her, she was young, like mid to late 20s, maybe 26, 27.
Nice.
And she has an older boyfriend.
Oh,
who's been listening for a long time, and he and she, under some objection, listened to the show, and then she started to grow on her, and she is now listening on her own, and she's not with him anymore.
Hey, all right.
Away. Yeah. Dude. And she's found that she has friends who listen to
it. But now you just found out a way to have him get a retap. Now they'll always have the show in common.
I know. I wish that guy would get around more, get us more 27-year-old, because it's nice to have those.
Around yeah, because he spreads
yeah,
the show.
He spreads the show.
And his seed.
Those 25 to 54s are great. The 25 to 34s are harder to get now because, obviously, show's older.
There is going to be a way to spread the word soon because merch has been ordered, so that will be coming soon. Including
is there stuff in the Drew and Mike store as we speak?
Yeah.
Let me go to DrewandMikeStore.com and let you know.
Probably not a lot of stuff, but they're...
But it's about to get, you know, a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, replenished with new stuff.
Including some new stickers, which I think look pretty sweet.
Yeah, stickers are going to be sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah, people are always asking
different,
for stickers.
Different kinds. Mm-hmm.
But of course, there's always going to be some things that are on there. Maybe some stuff more limited than others. But there's going to be a lot of great stuff.
Not apparently, just clothing this
enough
time.
Enough people have asked for koozies, and it's like, koozies? Yeah. I don't even want people to buy koozies if they want to buy them. But we've added koozies because, I mean, really, I feel stupid selling koozies. But I guess people do like them, and whatever. And also thermoses?
Yeah, you can throw that koozie in that drawer that you have 800 other koozies in.
I have
one.
Pint glasses, too. And coffee mugs. I can't believe we've never done coffee mugs.
That is strange.
But there was a lot of stuff that went into picking the right tumbler, traveling tumbler.
By the way, there's this guy who listens
probably
to us.
Too much that went into it.
There's a really funny dude. He's an older guy, and he really likes mic flags.
Oh, yeah.
And so he started making his own mic flags.
Oh.
And he copies the logo. He gets colors right. And he sent me a picture. He's like, "Yeah, I've made a few mic flags. I got a little collection." And he had a little cabinet and a bunch of mic flags in there, Channel 4, Channel 7,
cool.
Channel 2, you know, WRF, WABX, Wheels, the old logo, the new logo. And so I was like, "Oh, can you make a few extras of those?" He's like, "Yeah, sure I can. What do you want?" And so I said, "Well, how about our new logo? And how about the old WRF logo? And I think I asked for something else, too."
105.1, of course.
No, I did not. What? I did not ask for a 105.1 mic.
Why not?
I don't want one. I do not want to see a mic flag.
We'll put it on Tom's mic.
I guess I should have one just for sake of history. History, as if. but anyway, I ended up ordering like 10 WIF mic flags.
Really?
10 WLLZ mic flags and 10 Drew and Mike logo.
Oh,
the
cool.
new logo mic flags. Or maybe
will they
five
go on,
of one and 10 of two.
We put them on these mics? These
no,
arms?
I don't no, think they're really fit. Just kind of collectibles. Oh. I just figured some people might like having a mic flag.
Well,
I don't think they even go on this mic.
No BS News with LaDuff has a mic flag because Joe it, in
I know,
the chicken suit had
I know,
one.
And it's so cool when I see that. And that's a good logo. Charlie has a great logo, too. Mm-hmm. They ought to sell a shirt. Maybe they will. And
ML will have some shirts.
So he's coming over to deliver the mic flags, and he sent me a picture of, he said, Bernie needs a new mic flag. And it was a picture of Bernie, like, the other day.
Yeah.
And Bernie, he's got this real tattered mic flag. And it's like, I never would have noticed that if
it's
he hadn't
funny.
Said that. But I know, it was really
what
funny.
A weird obsession to look at.
I don't know. I always like goofy things. Like, I used to love pins, like band pins, the little ones. And just on an old trashy coat or something. Put a bunch of, I have a lot of flair.
I like bumper
if you're in a
stickers.
Real flourish mood. Yeah.
Which you do like knickknacks.
I do.
This shelf behind me drives me up a wall, and so does all this stuff.
Well,
my, that's my my OCD.
By the way, that beautiful clock fell. I was not down here. I don't know who the suspect is. If Sybil Shepherd was down here. You do?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Was I involved?
It's a piece of crap. It doesn't work.
No.
Yeah, Mark tried squeezing between the shelf and the chair, and it fell, didn't it?
I didn't think it was this. I thought there was something else.
Oh, no, you're right. That was the red one that was there.
Yeah, the red clock. That's up there now.
Yeah.
That one fell.
You mean the radio?
Yeah,
the radio,
yeah. Oh my God.
And the little thing in the dial popped off.
Should probably.
Here's a nice piece of shit.
Yeah, that clock is a
great clock.
A pretty valuable clock, and somebody wiped it out and broke this, but it just needs some
glue.
There was a little bit of controversy involving that clock yesterday that you don't know about.
What? What happened?
Well, it was plugged into the wall, and Trudy needed to charge her computer.
Yeah.
And so I said, unplug the clock. And Joe said, no, because the clock, the time is actually correct for the first time ever. And I just said, no one ever looks at that clock for the time. What kind of maniac? What?
Yeah, I look at it.
You have
I don't
a phone
know why.
In your
it's
hand.
It's just right in front of me. I know, it's just right in front of me. But the reason it was plugged into the plug was because it was in the extension cord. The extension cord comes across, and I figured somebody kicked the extension cord and pulled the clock.
Oh. No, I think what happens is when someone sits there on a certain day, there's not much clearance.
Yeah, it's hard to get in between the chair and the wall.
Well, I think the chances of it falling down that are greater if it's attached to the cord that goes across there that you have to walk by.
Which it's attached to now.
Great. Oh, well. I don't know why it's down here. I should remove it.
It's a nice clock that no one looks at except for
cool.
you.
Well, I just thought it was cool anyway.
It is a cool clock. That's not in dispute.
Okay, so
that's like an alarm clock. Woo, woo!
The most delayed event in the history of the show, the email from Charles, who loved the story. I know, because that was right before Maz called, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, he said he loved the story about the guy who called Mark to say that he may not have flushed the toilet.
Yes,
and
yes.
I love that story, too.
From the carpet company, the one that advertises all the time.
It's fascinating on so many levels, because I think to take the risk that you did indeed not flush the toilet, you can always just say, that's completely bullshit. I mean, why would I take a dump at a customer's house? I never do that. And if I did, I would flush the toilet. You know, it just, you can make it sound like somebody's really piling on. And then to call and take the risk that you didn't, then you're telling the person, I took a huge dump at your place. I'm so worried I didn't flush because it was horrible that I'm calling to tell you
really
and apologize. So that was really.
At least he didn't clog it. I mean, that'd be worse. Although, I don't know if I'd call if it was clogged either.
Well, there's so much at risk when he makes that call, but he had to clear his conscience.
I admire that.
Anyway, he has two similar stories, one where I was the perpetrator and one where I was the victim. The one I committed was against my brother. He lived in one of those shithole apartments where he couldn't flush right before taking a shower because it messed with the water pressure and temperature. We went out drinking on Friday, and I spent the night at his apartment. I worked earlier than he did on Saturday morning, so I would get up, take a shower, and leave for work, and he'd get up a few hours later. I have colitis, so it's an adventure when I take a dump under the best of circumstances.
Yeah, it's tough.
But after a night of drinking draft beer, it's a complete abomination.
Where's the bathroom? I got to take a dump.
I got up that morning, took a horrible dump, then jumped in the shower. I was at work when all of a sudden I had a horrible feeling that I forgot to flush when I got out of the toilet. I figured I must have because my brother had to be up by now, and if he had found that, there's no way he wouldn't have called me. Well, a few minutes later, my brother called me up, and in between dry heaves, kept calling me a sick son of a bitch. He woke up all hungover, opened up the toilet, was confronted with what I had left him. Keep in mind, it was sitting there for a couple hours. He has a weak stomach. He thought he was going to throw up, but he couldn't because he would require sticking his head down by the toilet bowl. He flushed it and ran to the other room to yell at me. But after he realized it was a mistake and not a prank, he calmed down a little bit. I was the victim at my now wife's house. She has a tiny bathroom in the basement that no one ever used. Back when I started,
I don't know if you heard, but I just took a pretty aggressive dump.
Back when I started spending the night at her house, one day she told me we needed to have a talk.
Oh, no.
That's scary.
That's a weird way to bring it up.
She wanted me to feel comfortable there, and she didn't want to embarrass me, but she wanted to remind me to always flush when I use the bathroom. That day, she went in the basement and noticed the bathroom stunk. She walked in there, and there was a giant turd in the bowl and assumed it was me. I told her I never even used the basement bathroom, and it wasn't me. Then we remembered that the week earlier, one of her friends came over to pick up some stuff she was storing in the basement and was down there. Oh, wait. Why does the print go out there?
Oh.
The best part's coming up.
Pins and needles.
I know. Me too. And I already know the ending.
That Crohn's and colitis, man. That's tough on people. Holy crap. I'm actually going to the walk this weekend, the Take Steps Crohn's and Colitis. I'm on a team there. I go every year.
Really? Is there a portage on every 10 yards?
Kristen has Crohn's, and we have our own team. It's Team Crohn Thugs and Harmony. That's our team.
Doing your part in the community.
How do we donate?
Yeah. Well, if you go to, I think it's the Crohn'sColitisFoundation.org.
I mean, can we donate, to you?
I think you can. Maybe I never utilized that opportunity.
$0.10 a mile or whatever?
I don't know. You should give me money, though. We'll work it out.
We will donate every penny of our profits to charity.
Keeping only enough money to cover changing our lives in a major way.
Anyway.
Well, let us know, Brandon.
After he brought up the fact that this girlfriend, and she remembered that the girlfriend had been in the basement going through the storage area to get stuff.
Uh-oh.
She called the girl. She called her.
What?
Yeah, she's like, did you take a dump in my basement? And the girl admitted it.
What?
And she said she did. She forgot to flush. She said she was nervous, being in the basement bathroom.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
And she completely spaced and flaked out on it.
Well, what are you going to do?
I just thought it was kind of weird.
Go back down there.
I thought it was kind of bizarre, though, that his girlfriend called her. Like, she was determined to find out who did it. I mean, that pretty... I mean, to her credit, in a way.
I forgot. I omit it. I have forgotten to flush a time or two, usually because I was on the phone and I didn't want the sound to go down the phone line.
Yeah.
And then I'm just, spacing out. Next thing you know, Julie walks in. Ah!
My wife called. She admitted she was packing up. She had to take a dump and forgot to flush. Thankfully, the friend admitted it. It was her. Otherwise, my wife would have thought that not only did I take gorilla dumps, but also that I was a liar. Liar!
I wonder how much.
So why this friend? What's with these chicks taking these monster dumps?
Did she question her friendship after that?
That's got to be. What a revelation that is if you've been with a chick for a long time and one day you go in the bathroom and you're like, oh, my God! I mean, because you would think it would be some little bird dump. And then you find out that your spouse, girlfriend, whatever, takes these monster dumps. It's a little...
I've seen a certain 5-year-old that has taken a monster dump a time or two. Yeah, but
well,
she won't go for like...
I'd be proud of her.
She won't go for like 3 days. I think, it's like a softball in the toilet.
I think it's
disgusting.
There might
it's
be
horrible.
Some pride there, though.
Huh?
I mean, there's some genetic pride in that, isn't there?
Why would there be pride in that?
I don't know.
Everybody poops,
don't
Drew.
Most guys take pride in taking a big, healthy dump.
I've seen that look before. You getting ready to take a big dump.
I mean, there are guys who will demand someone come in the room and look at it.
Oh, well, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's different.
Like Randy.
Who hasn't been through that?
Well, that's different. Oh, I've done that.
Well, there's a...
Walters and I were at a hotel once for...
Oh, I remember that.
And there were two bathrooms.
Wasn't that the Days Inn in Chicago?
No.
Are you sure?
Well, I know there was one time.
I think a photograph was taken. It was so incredible.
Well, there were two bathrooms in the room, which is really weird. A hotel room that has two bathrooms.
That's strange.
Because it wasn't really sweet. But anyway, I was glad there was because it was such a work of art. I went to the other bathroom to clean up, which was, I preserved it without having to use any toilet paper.
and photographic evidence as well.
Yeah. Very proud.
Yeah, it was. That was huge too.
My God, scared me. But
that's why I thought. That's funny that it had such an impression on me. I thought I remember exactly the hotel and the geographic location it was taken.
I think you're right. I think it might have been the Days Inn. There's probably a 1-star review.
Breaking news. And we call this Red Shovel breaking news. Why are you farting in the middle?
I know. I'm worried about you.
Things are really getting weird on this show.
Sorry about that.
You've been farting all day.
Right here, some breaking news from the Red Shovel Network and shit.
News out of Starbucks in Warren.
Uh-oh.
Larry Spruill is live with more on what investigators say Alan the camera Park. Was I'm recording. Sorry. And Larry, this is just creepy to say the least.
Creepy indeed. Good evening, Kimberly and Devin. Now, to give you an example.
Wouldn't that be great if Larry said, that's not that creepy. What are you talking about?
How big the camera and adapter is, it's the size of this pen right here. Now, it's easy to hide and easy to overlook.
Oh, you know, Larry.
The police say for days it was watching people inside the Starbucks.
Oh, boy. Wow. Are you
kidding? Looking at video?
He's getting mad on the street about a spy camera in a Starbucks.
Is he showing them the video?
I think so. What if it's pictures of him?
And easy to overlook. But police say for days
he used his own penis on the thing. Extreme close up.
Wow. Are you kidding me?
No, this is me.
To avoid embarrassment for anyone, I use my own penis.
And it's not creepy, Kimberly.
And we only interviewed females.
The police say for days.
And I'm dating three of them.
People inside the Starbucks.
Got a lot of numbers.
Wow. Are you kidding me?
It's that raw emotion from Krista Wilson after she learned creepy information about what was going on inside her favorite Starbucks.
I'm really just, like, disturbed by that because I go to the Starbucks all the time.
Detective James Thorburn with Allen Park Police say an employee saw the camera while cleaning the toilet over the weekend.
If you open the lid attached to, like, the bottom of the lid, so, you know, if the lid was closed,
he cleans the toilet?
You couldn't
see. That guy's...
That's the detective.
Okay, I thought they said I thought that was like the head of the manager, and said who cleans the toilet? And I was like, wait, that guy cleans the toilet? Really? He looks. I mean, I was gonna be impressed.
Well, Larry had to write the copy really quick.
He looks like a very management guy. I thought, damn, he cleans the toilets himself. That's pretty cool.
Larry had to write the copy really quick because he wasted too much time showing the video of himself to too many men on the street. Inside of the toilet, isn't that a really weird place to hide a camera? Because it's gonna be found.
No doubt.
And what are you going to see on the inside of the toilet lid?
Buttholes.
But if it's, wouldn't it be pointing up? Or
I wonder, do you suppose this is a heterosexual or a homosexual person?
Hetero.
Just a scat
this is
freak.
A creepy hetero freak, yeah. Don't you think?
Thorburn with Allen Park Police say an employee saw the camera while cleaning the toilet over the weekend.
If you open the lid attached to like the bottom of the lid, so
that's
you know,
right,
if the lid was closed, you couldn't see.
You couldn't see it. But the person on the other end of this camera definitely can see you.
Are you kidding me?
Police showed us video from the camera. You can see several people walking out of the restroom.
This is a Wi-Fi camera, so it does stream live.
Did you show a shot of the reporter walking out of the restroom?
There was some files on there.
And he winked at the camera.
I believe that this was streaming to an off-site, you know, maybe somebody in the parking lot.
Somebody needs help. They are sick, and they need to be put in jail. It makes me think, like, where else around here did, you know, these people put these cameras? It's scary, and now I'm going to be looking in every direction when I go to the bathroom in all of these stores.
She might have a good drop or two in there.
And that's right. So Starbucks is now asking all of the businesses in this area to check their restrooms. Police say it could be
nice
more
acting
businesses
like it has nothing to do with
thing.
Us. Yeah,
they
some crazy person.
If the suspect is caught, the suspect could face felony charges.
Oh, come on, crosstalk.
We're live in Allen Park tonight. Larry Spruill, Local 4.
So small, but yet such a clear picture, too, Larry. Okay, thank you.
What? See your penis.
Oh, Larry
clearly.
Showed her the picture? It's just he's like an arsonist that shows up for a fire.
Just to be clear, that was only speculation, irresponsible speculation. We don't know what he was showing people.
Yeah, but no, it was not him.
Would have been very entertaining if it had been him showing his penis. And I'm not saying he did. I don't know. I mean, it was brought up, and we're just speculating on the issue. So, meanwhile, I did get an email about because I was talking about the counting the homeless people in Starbucks.
Yeah.
And I just want to make clear that it doesn't affect me from going to Starbucks. I go there all the time. Mm-hmm. And I love this Starbucks. And I love their orange juice. I love their pastries.
That's what they're known for.
I like their breakfast sandwiches. I really do.
Yeah.
And I like their coffee, too. I always get their coffee. So I have nothing against Starbucks. It's just that they get put in this squirrely position because some idiot in Philadelphia calls the cops over two people who are taking up prime real estate in Starbucks and apparently don't want to order anything or feel recalcitrant, like, you know, I don't have to order anything. We're waiting for someone. We don't want to dare order before they show
business
up.
Business meeting.
Mm-hmm. And it was, I don't know, the whole story was kind of weird. And Starbucks gets busted in the crosshairs, and they have to shut the store down so everyone can get trained on, you know, how not to call the cops on people who aren't doing anything wrong, which seems stupid to me.
Well, remember, though, it was closed during a very slow hour in the middle of the week.
Well, yes, it was.
It's not getting nuts about it. It was closed for like an hour.
But it started this argument among people, some of whom felt that, you know, why didn't they just order something when they went in? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, you generally don't go in a restaurant or a business without doing anything. You have to say, yeah, I'm going to wait here for my friend. Or, you know, it's just, you know, it was this whole disagreement where some people felt that, no, you can go to Starbucks and not order anything. They like that. And Starbucks even kind of adopted that position by saying, it's a community meeting place, and sure, anyone can come in here anytime. You don't have to buy a thing. And since that happened, at the time I thought, you know, that's dangerous to say that because, you know, if word gets around, you could become a haven for homeless people when it's cold outside. Or the other thing is bathrooms. You know, when you go to a coffee shop or a restaurant.
Guys putting a camera in there.
Well, you also don't like, you know, thinking that everyone off the street is coming in to hustle, or you have to fight for a bathroom stall because, you know, anyone can use it. And in fact, that has been brought up by people, that they feel that the Starbucks bathroom has become kind of a communal thing. And people also like to use drugs in bathrooms. Mm-hmm. And if you're out and about, that's the only place you can go, maybe, without having to spend valuable drug money on food or something. So it's fairly complicated. But I just want to make clear that it doesn't really affect me. And I'm not saying, these damn homeless people, get them out of there. It's just, I was amused that by Starbucks forcing to take this PC stance that we welcome everyone anytime. You don't have to buy a thing. It happened. It did. And I guess it was bound to. And the bathroom part, I think, is really the larger problem.
Yeah.
I would guess.
Do you guys think it's weird that people will go there and do work for like 4 hours?
Yeah, I do.
I was at a Panera Bread yesterday, and we ordered food. I'm looking around. It's like a guy on his computer with like one drink. Another
that
person
sounds delicious.
Just sitting there reading a book. I'm like, do people have anywhere to go or do?
Well, generally it's probably cool because, you know, when the internet came along, it was great to, you know, we have Wi-Fi.
Yeah, no, I understand that.
But then people who seem to be studying for a final exam for 6 hours at Starbucks, I think that is kind of stupid.
It's just weird.
It's the exception to the rule. I don't think they have to worry about the place being, you know, overcome by homeless people or people who are. And so, you know, and if I was homeless, I would probably go in there and take the best seat in the house.
Oh, my God, yeah.
As it is, they do. They take the best seat in the house always, and they always have a lot of stuff with them too. So it, whatever. But I wasn't trying to pile on homeless people. I thought the way the story organically came about was kind of, it was just kind of amusing.
There's another business that's shutting down for diversity training. It's Sephora, which I guess is a makeup store.
Yeah. And I'm sure they all need it.
Because the singer...
I'm sure everyone really needs it.
The singer SZA tweeted something out in April that she was racially profiled.
And how was she racially profiled? I'm not saying she wasn't.
I got to pull up her tweet. But I guess other customers have complained that they were being followed around by white people at Sephora. And she was going to buy Rihanna's new line. So apparently now all Sephora
is Sephora.
I don't get it.
Is it the kind of place where people of all different cultures would shop, or is it typically a store?
It's a makeup store, yeah.
Anybody can
shop there. Mm-hmm.
So this was,
but I'm sure
this wasn't just SZA. It was a lot of people complaining about the same thing.
Yeah, but SZA was the one that really sent it into hyperdrive. which, you know, I'm sure they're going to solve everything by shutting down for diversity training. Probably in an hour where they're really slow, the middle of the week, you know, no one's there shopping anyway.
It should be the sort of thing that, honestly, a very pointed memo with, you know, a four-point bullet point memo mm-hmm. would probably suffice rather than forcing people to be told what you should know with common sense, especially if you're working, sure. or each manager could reiterate it with people. But you have to make this big public display of it.
That's what I don't like about it.
No, I don't either. And, you know, just the people at Hermes, by the way, you know, because Oprah was not allowed to shop after the store closed. And so all of Hermes had to then go and, I mean, honest to God, really? And most of these...
Who shops at Hermes anyway?
I know.
Isn't it super expensive?
I went to Hermes in Chicago. I probably mentioned this.
Ooh.
And I wanted to look at their watches, nothing else, because I was like, oh, I didn't...
You don't want to buy a scarf?
No.
Are they known for their yearly scarves or something?
It's the last place on the planet I would probably shop. It's extremely upscale. I go in there... And there's people who are drinking champagne.
What?
By the jewelry. Oh, you know, because everything's really expensive there. And they really weren't very nice to me. They seemed to be like, are you lost? What are you doing here?
Oh, they profiled you. They need to shut down for diversity training again.
A little bit. And then I said I wanted to look at the watches. And I think he saw I had a nice watch on that day because I noticed he looked at it. He goes, what is that? It was a Ulysses Narden watch or something, which he recognized right away. He's like, this guy likes watches or he steals nice watches or something. But I was wearing a baseball hat and a T-shirt on. I did not look like an Hermes customer. And
good.
I could tell they were a little put out. And I didn't like their watches, by the way.
Oh, well, shot.
But I do think most of these forced corporate exercises, which, by the way, they spend so much money on, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, if they gave that money to the employees rather than, I would think they would probably learn faster. But I think people generally who fail, and I'm sure there are some who just maybe are stuck in their ways or they don't know any better or they don't realize they're doing it. But generally, when it comes to sexual harassment or something like that, I bet 96% of it is assholes who will do it again.
Oh, that's probably more than 96%, but yeah.
Most people know how to behave in a workplace, know what is stupid to say, and you can't... Well, yeah, it's just a stupid topic.
Yeah, but how do you know what everybody's trigger warning is?
You start throwing all these key words and make it sound like it's some kind of a science. It's common sense.
Oh, that reminds me about like speaking back. Did you see the Paris Jackson story about marijuana?
Wait, is this Paris Michael's daughter?
Yes.
Now what?
So a fan asked her, like, how... This is so stupid. How'd you come up with cooking spaghetti grilled cheese sandwiches and mozzarella? And in her response, which, what a dumb question anyway. But she just responded, marijuana. Like, that's how she came up with it.
Oh.
But another person on Twitter got really mad and tweeted back to her, druggie, I bet you do meth, too. Your dad must be ashamed of you, degenerate.
Oh, yeah, Michael has no comprehension of anyone who would ever use drugs.
So what do you think she did? Did she, A, just forget about
it? No, I'm sure she responded.
What's this response?
And it's going to be all about her dad and how hard it is for her to deal with the fact that her father, my dad's dead!
No, she wrote, because an organic medicinal plant from Mother Earth with dozens of healing properties that is legal where I live and used to help suffering people around the world equals meth. She can't recognize a troll. And then, she couldn't stop there. Instead of taking poisonous, addictive pharmaceuticals, this incredible medicine from the earth has been prescribed to me to help my depression, anxiety, PTSD, and insomnia.
PTSD. With that is so offensive to people who served in Iraq and were blown up.
Yeah.
And people like that.
Just old traumatic syndrome.
Yeah, that these people who got yelled at school once have PTSD. Yeah.
Or because your dad's the most famous pop star.
I know. How offensive. What total BS that is.
Paris didn't clarify that. She doesn't smoke weed every day. She just uses it as needed. I don't do it as soon as I wake up, unless it's a rare occasion. I don't do it when I work. What does she work? What does she do for a living? And I don't do it when I drive. Fake! It's medicine to me, and not an everyday thing.
Yeah, she's got it pretty tough. She really does.
I know, but that's a response to like one troll.
It drives me crazy that, and I don't know what happened to SZA. SZA may have been treated poorly. I don't doubt that, and I don't even know SZA. But it just sort of, isn't it annoying that a person, an influencer, can have one experience at one store, and all of a sudden it's just crazy.
Maybe that's like the new symbol of celebrity and how powerful a celebrity is if they can get a corporation to respond by shutting down 1 hour in the middle of the week for diversity training.
If there was no shutdown, SZA's influence would definitely be lowered.
There, I don't know why this reminded me of that. Have you seen Kanye with David Letterman yet?
I haven't.
You haven't?
I should watch it, though. I will.
I'll see if you can make it even to the intro.
Oh, really?
Well, I don't know. It starts with him doing his little, what's his church service that Kanye's been doing. Okay. So they're showing him doing that, and then that shows his family, you know, the Kardashians.
I'm already dreamweavering.
Inside the tent.
Yes.
And then sitting like 5 feet away from his Letterman with his huge beard. He was at that prayer service thing that Kanye did.
Well,
and then I watched a good portion of it. And, you know, Dave, if you like him, I think you'll like it, at least to the point.
I think I probably would, too, because Kanye's got a sense of humor, generally.
Well, it starts with Dave sits down and goes, "What'd you have for breakfast?" Which is such a, you know, pointless question that everybody can answer. And then it just went into, you know, food and stuff. It was a really interesting jumping off point, but Kanye hasn't said much yet to where I'm at, so I don't know how much better or worse it gets. And then I did click on Melinda Gates and jumped right into the middle of it.
Oh.
And she goes, "One of the things Bill and I do is science." And that's when I closed it, because she said, "Bill and I in science."
I may have to watch that just to get mad. But what are the odds? I need to blow off some steam.
What are the odds I would jump right into the middle of it and she'd say, "One of the things Bill and I do"? Come on.
We'll see what I land on in the middle. Speaking of outrage and all this business of whether it's political correct or whatever you want to call it, these angry people in San Diego, because did you see that there were thousands of bees that converged on this microphone on the field in San Diego?
Yeah, it delayed the game for a while.
Yeah, and they came out with an exterminator, a guy in a suit, in a space suit, and he exterminated the bees. Well, people were angry because they killed the bees. Because
honeybees are disappearing.
In front of the fans.
Yeah.
I mean, can you believe that? Now, had they not done that, let's just say
that would have stung somebody. They would have sued.
That was my first thought. Yeah. My second thought was, what are they going to do, cancel the game?
Yeah.
We'll suspend the game and pick it up another time.
Well, bees will still be there.
Why are people, and the amazing thing is that you can say that and people immediately agree with you.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what the topic is. There's always a certain percentage. And the same thing I know will come of this. I just heard about this, that there are serious discussions going on about NBA teams no longer using the term owner about the NBA's ownership because it's racially insensitive. Now, we're talking about
own the players.
Players making an average of $2.5-3 million a year. They're not slaves. They are extremely well compensated, probably better on the average in almost any job. They're anything but owned. They also have free agency. They have a union. They have, I mean, to think that people, I always thought that was a joke that, wait, guys making that much money have a union? I mean, it seems kind of silly, but
I honest question.
Anything but owned. And slavery was a pretty long, long time ago.
Well,
and people are called owners of companies. I don't know.
That's what I was going to say. That's beside the point when you talk about.
This is like maintenance engineer and janitor. I mean, really, aren't we getting into
semantics?
Yeah.
Yeah, which, you know, someone always wins an argument over semantics. But when you think of an owner of a sports franchise, do you think that they actually own the players? No, because players change all the time.
I've never thought they owned the players.
I think it's Sterling's fault because he used to walk in a locker room and go, "Oh, these big muscle guys."
I'm just so not worried about this. This is just, I mean, it's the idea that, people should even spend 5 seconds on it. There's so many other more worthy things where people are being screwed over in some way or being treated in a racially insensitive way.
Yeah, like, when you bring this up, like those universities that don't pay their players.
Yeah, like, well, yeah.
I mean, there's the,
that's a pretty big
deal. There's the real slave labor.
And optically speaking, that's 5,000.
I like to help minorities.
It's 5,000 times worse.
Oh, God,
I mean, really? Yes. You got the white coaches making these giant salaries, the white athletic directors, all the employees in the athletic department who are making giant salaries because you don't have to pay the players who are primarily black. I mean, that's a real issue, and I know we talk about it a lot, but honestly, it's certainly worthy of discussion a lot more than, oh, my God, I feel like I'm owned. I feel like I'm literally a slave of this white owner.
I'm bringing some gorgeous black guys. There's no African-American. Never mind.
Isn't it really because of him?
Yeah, probably.
I'm sorry. I didn't.
I didn't.
I'm here with you today to apologize and to ask for forgiveness.
There's not even time for this. There's a lot of little news items I wanted to talk about today, but Maz was trying to get Jeopardy James. I don't know.
He tweeted at him today.
He did? He's been tweeting at him for days now, so I don't know if Jeopardy James will come up.
I got to tell you, we watched that yesterday.
Something weird about that?
His bet?
Why'd he bet $13 on Final Jeopardy?
I don't know. Because he couldn't win
unless she lost.
He's assuming she's going to lose. Right, or get the question wrong.
Right.
So he couldn't, if she doubles her wager, his double, he would still fall short because he was in second place. But if you are going to assume that she gets it wrong, you would still bet enough to pass the number she was at, which he didn't do.
I have a weird theory.
What?
My theory is he probably knew he was going to lose because she had more money and she was probably going to bet it all. And so I personally think that he bet a number that way his final total number or something like
would
that
would be ahead of the second place guy, the third place guy.
No, the way he's been betting,
they all have meanings like birthdays.
All of his numbers end up having some sort of a meaning, a birthday.
Oh,
or
knock
this,
it off,
that
just penis size or something.
I don't know about that, but I don't know. But then again, maybe that won't work because second place only gets $2,000. He doesn't get to keep.
Somebody explain to me why he bet what he bet.
Kind of seemed like he was throwing it.
Did you see him steal her thunder, too, after she won?
Oh, by high-fiving her? Wasn't it kind of weird that it just goes to Alex and the show's over?
Yeah.
Like there was no, I thought there'd be balloons and confetti.
High five!
Jeopardy isn't, I mean, can they loosen up just a tiny bit? I mean, Jeopardy is so tight that people go, oh my God, he gave her a high five. I've never seen that on Jeopardy. He had to walk behind a player to get to her, too.
Yeah, he stole her thunder. It's bullshit. Let's hear the new champion's story. We always love their stories.
Did her master's paper on our show?
That's right, Alex.
Tell me about it.
I ran a series of text mining experiments to see if a computer could predict how difficult a clue was, based on things like how long it was, what words were in the clue, what the syntax was, and if it had any audiovisual elements in it.
And what did you discover?
That it's very hard to do.
I think she's got some very deep-seated problems.
Jay Sexton is a senior research engineer from Atlanta. And while in middle school, is it true you memorized the entire Genius Trivial Pursuit game?
Oh, boy. I memorized the entire first edition, yes. I was that much of a nerd.
Oh, my gosh. Did you play Trivial Pursuit often?
I used that to pass road trips, to be in the car, and I'd just read cards to memorize them.
You have a smartphone?
Kicked off my, I guess.
You know, you could have made a lot of money
quite a time
playing
manager.
Trivial Pursuit, having memorized all that.
What? No one would play me after a while.
Oh, I wonder why. The same thing is true of our champion here. Not too many people want to play against James, but I do want you to express my thanks to your beautiful little daughter, Natasha, for having made this get well card for me. That was very sweet of her. Thank you.
What, James doesn't have a story?
He's out of stories. I mean,
this show
is stories.
That's about as wild an intro as you'll ever get, him bringing up the card.
Yeah.
I mean, that was like, that's crazy for Jeopardy. There were a lot of things. We got a boner line we want to drop in before we quit today, and I know we're at the 2:33 mark.
Oh,
so
we are. Oh my
yeah,
God.
I know. The governor's phone being seized.
Yeah.
Is it a little late, maybe? Could they slow
like, deleted
down
everything?
A little bit? I mean, it's only been, what, 6 years but since the Flint water crisis?
That's a state-owned phone, right?
I don't know.
So when do they have everything?
I would really think that this governor would probably prefer to have his own phone.
Yeah,
but it was also
in a storage unit.
Well, but nonetheless, wouldn't you think in an effort to get to the bottom of what happened, they would have taken his phone a little sooner than 6 years after this crisis?
Well, maybe the old AG just didn't care enough.
Good thing Righteous Rick didn't buy that one.
By the way, former Governor Snyder now has a beard and a mustache, and I think he thinks he's hot.
Where is it?
I think he thinks he looks hot. Yeah, I really do. I think that.
What a dork.
That he sees himself as hotter with the beard and mustache.
Well,
I strongly believe that. I'm certain of it.
Where'd you see him recently?
Well, they were talking about the phone story, and they showed a little clip of him.
I don't see any beard on him.
Yeah, he's got a beard.
Where?
Did I see an old
picture? No, I believe you. I think he's had it scrubbed off the internet already.
He had each little hair transplanted into his face with a laser, lasered in.
See there. He explained it.
Huh.
There were a couple other stories that got my attention. One was this murder-suicide in Brighton.
Oh, it's fucking awful.
Yeah, this mom killed her 5-year-old daughter and then shot herself.
Yeah.
And
over custody, it sounds like.
Oh, was it custody?
Well, the ex or the kid's dad said she didn't. Can you do a wellness check? She didn't show up to
turn the child over.
Exchange the kid. And they showed up. And I guess they said that she had been dead for a few days.
Well, she really proved that she deserved custody, didn't she? Wasn't that.
I know, but can you just kill yourself?
It's incredible. She has to kill a 5-year-old. No, she obviously was trying to. Screw him over more than anything, and just like this guy,
I don't know how you can do that. I mean, there's times where Charlotte drives me nuts, but no, I can't imagine doing it.
And doing it just to get Julie because Julie wants custody. Yeah, you're gonna. No, it's unthinkable.
It's incomprehensible. Yeah. Is that a word?
Yes. And then that reminds me of this guy in Connecticut who thought he was so smart dumping bloody clothes in 30 different garbage sites.
Lead
which
story on Inside Edition today.
They
took you on the trail.
Oh, they did?
I think so.
Really? Yeah. Oh, I'd like to see that.
Okay.
I love Inside Edition. My wife thinks Inside Edition is,
you trail of blood.
I love the way he calls Lisa Inside Edition.
He doesn't know her name. Oh, I'm sorry. It was not the lead story. Trump was.
I love Inside Edition.
Oh, they're telling us what they had for dinner.
I would be so bummed to be on that trip with him. Or to be him.
Oh, I think he's bummed.
Oh, my God. All that state dinner crap and all that protocol. Oh,
did you see?
All I can think about is how boring it was.
Did you see that?
Matter.
He touched the queen on the shoulder. My shoulder. You don't touch the queen on the shoulder. Oh, here we go. Trail of horror.
Bloodstained clothes along a road in Connecticut. Now our Stephen Fabian is retracing the trail they allegedly took on the same day the mom vanished.
This is the route that the accused husband drove as he and his girlfriend allegedly dumped his wife's bloody clothing and other items along the way. The drive stretched along 4 miles of Albany Avenue in Hartford, Connecticut.
Authorities say as the husband drove his black pickup truck, his girlfriend was next to him in the passenger seat. As they drove down Albany Avenue, they were seen on surveillance video stopping 30 times to dump garbage bags filled with the bloody evidence.
Why would you do it in the same 4-mile stretch?
I don't know. By the way, I can't believe how much blood did this woman have? 30 garbage bags?
Yeah.
Well, maybe it was garbage day in that area, and you want to get...
Ooh, that's smart, Brandon.
Garbage day!
Wow, I think you're onto something.
Into trash cans along the way.
The drive took place the same day mother of 5, Jennifer Dulos, vanished after dropping her 5 children off at school.
Wow.
Albany Avenue is lined by small stores.
5 young kids.
Serious issue, Shell thought, were those boys too old to be wearing matching clothes?
Yes, any age is too old to be wearing matching clothes.
Okay, sorry about that.
homes. You can see numerous surveillance cameras. Police have looked through all the municipal garbage cans and found clothes in a kitchen sponge with Jennifer's blood on them. According to investigators, one of the surveillance videos shows a man believed to be the husband stuffing something down a storm drain at this intersection in Hartford. Detectives spent last night combing through trash at this municipal garbage incinerator. Police in New Canaan, where Jennifer Dulos lived, are also appealing for more surveillance footage, sending out this robocall.
We seek video surveillance from homes or businesses that have cameras which capture vehicular activity.
How much do they have to get to nail this guy?
Jennifer's estranged husband, Fotis Dulos, and his girlfriend, Michelle Chaconis, have both been charged with tampering with evidence. She was released yesterday on $500,000 bail. Do you know where Jennifer is? He remains in jail.
Maybe because she didn't do the murder, she's an accessory. The five children.
Well, and she wouldn't have done it either. He was going to kill her. She knew he was going to kill her. She told anyone who would listen that she was scared to death that he was going to do something to her. And why? First of all, I can't believe with all her screaming that he still did this. Yeah. And second of all, it's just so shitty that you know something is going to happen and someone can scream to high heaven about it and nobody does anything.
Mm-hmm. The girlfriend, it's like, what did... Honestly, what would she get out of it if they got away with it other than her being dead?
She has to live in that big mansion, I guess.
In other words, turn him in. She has money. She has money, and she comes from money.
And so does Jennifer Dulos.
Yeah.
That was, he owed Jennifer Dulos' mother a lot of money, apparently. I thought they said he owed her, unless they were referring to his own mother. I thought they were referring to Jennifer, the dead ex. Where's her body, by the way? I can't believe they haven't found it.
Yeah.
I thought they were suggesting that he owed her mother $2.5 million.
Wow.
They were living in a multi-million dollar home with the five kids. She wanted a divorce, and she was forced to leave the house with the five kids. He stayed in the marital house.
She wanted the divorce.
How often does that happen, though, where the female doesn't get to stay in the residence with five kids?
Yeah.
So, but I got the feeling that he's such a pain in the ass that she probably thought, well, it's easier for me to just leave and he can fucking stay there. I got to get my own place. Yeah. And so she was renting a place. And meanwhile, it sounds like he may not be able to make bail because he owes all this money already.
This is the other
story. If he does get bail, though, you know that fucker will run.
There's the other story that broke today. Mr. Golf Cart. At Parkland.
Oh, at Parkland?
Yeah, at Stoneman Douglas. Was
school
charged.
Shooting?
Yeah, seven charges of child neglect, negligence, and perjury. I don't know what the perjury is for. Among them,
14-year-old Alyssa Al-Hadef.
Do you think this is because today. It's Parkland and Stoneman Douglas, or do you think they, and so much was made of this security officer for the school that did nothing? Or would they do it to any school shooting security guard?
Probably Parkland has a lot to do with it. Isn't this piling on? The guy's been humiliated on a national level.
He also shares a name with Scott Peterson, too.
He's got enough going against him. I don't know. I mean, really, we're going to put him in prison?
It's a really tough one.
It's strange to me. I think we've started this.
He didn't do his job.
We've gone down this stretch of road, which I really don't like, where we hate cops again. Because I remember when I was younger and it's like, oh, my God, cops. I hate cops. And you know, when you're doing a lot of things wrong, of course you hate cops and you fear the cops. But
he did not do his job.
No, he didn't do his job. I agree. But I just think there's a feeling that we take vengeance against police who aren't doing their jobs. And in so many of these cases, now there's some really negligent cases. And by the way, there's another cop in Detroit who was part of the Dine and Dash at the Warren restaurant, the Japanese steakhouse.
Yeah, and, sounds good.
You know, she's been suspended with pay, but they also revealed, and I saw the chief talking about it, that she's got a few other issues. And there was another story about a cop who they said got physical with this person they arrested. And, oh, what do you know? He's done this before. And I'm thinking, why do they keep these people around? And it's probably because they can't get enough cops in Detroit. That's my guess. But why don't they try harder to weed the crappy people? Well, yeah, they've got a strong union too, so that's part of it. But, you know, then you watch something like Cops and you see You know, this is what these people live, and yet we really hear more about, oh, my God, this cop, that guy tried to beat up the cop, and he actually pulled his gun out and shot the guy, and the guy's black, and the cop is white. You didn't have to shoot him. And you know, it always seems like we're expecting such perfection out of the police, and we want to expect perfection, but I just feel there's a general feeling of malaise and, you know, and just ill will that police carry around that generally 99% of cops, 99.9, are great. That, yeah. And they put their ass on the line for us all the time. And by the way, all of us will call them in a second.
I think that goes back to your earlier point. It's like, why don't they weed out some of the – you never hear the finger pointed at some of the bad ones.
Well, they point the finger a lot now. I mean, these two cops were on the same newscast I saw today. But it seems that they have a hard time – even when these people have a record of making mistakes, of getting rid of them, and I don't understand. That's my biggest complaint.
Yeah.
Some of the cases that have become so public are seem so obvious to me, but many of them, I just, you know, you see the protests before we even know the truth. The story in Pittsburgh was just abominable to me, where, you know, oh my God, this cop shot this guy. All he had was ammunition in his pocket. Well, he did have a gun.
Well, Ferguson,
he left it in the car.
I think
they pulled over.
Ferguson's a big example of that.
Ferguson too. And there's still the name of the guy that was killed is still evoked all the time, as if it was some turning point where, you know, it was proven that police are out to kill people. And that is such an absurd thing to suggest. The guy in Pittsburgh, by the way, they had giant protests in Pittsburgh. And in the end, they determined that, you know what? They pulled over the right car because that car had bullet holes in it because it was at a drive-by shooting before they pulled it over. And it matched the car in the drive-by shooting. And that's why they pulled it over. And the guy got out of the car and took off. And he had something in his hand. And he was looking back at the cops. And they were of the belief that they had just been part of a drive-by shooting, which they were. But yet all we heard was, oh, he shot a guy who was defenseless, and he's a straight-A student. I think he was a straight-A student. I forgot what they said, but he was, of course, the most wonderful person in the world, just like the father of two, who they were describing in, I think it was Sacramento, that was shot in the backyard after he was busting out windows of cars, and he was trying to break into a house. And he pointed his phone at the police. You can see it on the surveillance tape. He is pointing. He's in a shooting position with his phone in his hand. And, you know, the next day we saw these protests with somebody, I think it might have been his brother, who's screaming at the mayor from like 2 inches away. Does this look like a gun? Does this look like a gun? And this story was so effed up because the guy was in shooting position. He had an object in his hand. He had been destroying cars, trying to break into houses in the neighborhood. They had 3 911 calls that someone dangerous was trying to break into cars, and people were really scared of this guy. And then he goes, and he won't give up when they get to him, and he's running through backyards. And in the end, they shot him and killed him. And when I read Father of Two, I thought, well, God, he was only like 21 years old. And I start reading a little more about the story. And yeah, he was a sperm donor for two children. Yeah. He was in a lot of trouble. He was not doing anything for his kids, and he did not live with his kids. He lived with his grandmother. In fact, he didn't even have his own phone. So, you know, Father of Two, he loved it. Oh, God, why?
Well, that's a fun one to end on today.
Yeah. Oh, there's even more. There were the two hit-and-run stories. I worked on all these local stories, and they were all fairly simple stories, really. But there was just, you know, once Maz vampired a half an hour of the show. They were talking about the mother who was killed riding her bike, a stranger, or she was hit on schoolcraft and left for dead. 62 years old, riding her bicycle home to her daughter's house where she was staying with kids and I think a grandchild or something. Yeah, and this person just took off. And then there was another case where they were sentencing someone. This story just made me so mad. This girl is in a social media beef with another girl. And so she goes to confront her. And she ends up running her over with her car twice and killing her. Killing her.
Over a social media beef?
Over a social media
beef.
That's
great. That's nice.
And she was sentenced to 2 to 15 years.
What?
2 to 15. Yeah. And there's two other people who I think were in the car.
What was the charge? Was it manslaughter? I don't know.
That's the thing. I always feel like when you murder somebody, I mean, running someone over in your car over social media beef, first of all, it sounds like it's first degree. because there's a beef, and she goes, and they run her over twice. Some of these cases are just so irritating. I know prisons are just full and they're overcrowded and all that, but damn it, when you fucking take someone's life over something that dumb, and it's like the Manson lady, Van Houten, mm-hmm. Leslie Van Houten, who was paroled. The board actually paroled her, and the governor overturned it. Now, I realize that these murders were 50 years ago, but she was involved in murdering two people in cold blood. It was they wanted to kill complete strangers. It was the most horrible crime. Who cares about what she is now? I just thought, first of all, she got the death penalty. It was lowered to life in prison. Wasn't that good enough? We have to let her out. But unfortunately for her, it's such a political time bomb. Nobody wants to be the person who agreed to let her out. So she's still in. She's going nowhere. And then there was a DPD sergeant killed in her own home. Here's another one.
Oh, this story's weird.
Yeah. She throws out her boyfriend on Saturday night. He comes back and shoots her in the head. So he really proved that she was wrong to throw him out, didn't he? Really proved himself. She has two daughters.
Who else? Didn't someone else get shot?
Oh, did someone else get shot in that story?
Is this the one that was shot in, like, Westland, or?
I think she was, I wanted to say.
At her home?
Yeah, she was at her home.
I thought somebody outside was shot as well.
I don't know if that's the case. It could well be the same story.
It
probably is. But she was killed in her own home. And again, so many of these females who draw attention to, hey, I'm scared of this person. They won't, well, I haven't done anything yet. And a few phone calls, whatever. That's not really stalking. And
it's a fine line, though. What if it's like Me Too and they just start claiming every guy is bothering them?
Well, there's already loads of women who are being stalked and by these controlling guys.
Once again, we need the Star Chamber and let them decide.
Yeah, I wish. Maybe they'll get somewhere. Basis. It's one of the best things.
Why not just crowdsource the justice? Just put it on Twitter. I have a Twitter poll.
I know.
Honestly, to a point, why not? I wouldn't want Twitter to do it, but maybe make an app.
It would be kind of cool if Twitter or something like Twitter was the parole board.
Yeah,
we all just voted. We really didn't have the information, but we just kind of knew the basic facts. Fuck, she killed two people with a man's. Fuck no.
Yeah, man.
I don't think you need to know that much.
Make an app. It's all bullshit. Anybody that wants to apply to be part of the Star Chamber app, they have to pass a test and prove that they read the information, and then they can vote.
Or the Star Chamber parole board.
They are the most powerful members of our community.
So,
I don't know what they're doing up there. To tell you the truth, I don't want to know. They meet at night behind closed doors.
Well, I want them out in public.
They have a shattering secret. A secret that will affect us all.
Who are these guys?
The Star Chamber.
One last piece of crime, local crime news. That comes from the Woodward Talk. I love the Woodward Talk.
I'm always surprised how many stories they break on this little tiny paper. They had the 7-Eleven, the guy that robbed my home court 7-Eleven was robbed by a guy with a gun, by the way.
It could have been you.
And I was stunned to see that he got bail.
Yeah, I know.
An armed robbery at 7-Eleven? How'd this guy get bail? I guess mommy.
Like that could have been me.
Could have been you, Drew.
A 19-year-old Berkeley man told police May 10th that someone was trying to extort him. According to the report, the man came to the Berkeley Public Safety Department and said that a person called him claiming to have a video of him performing a sex act on himself and that the person would release it on his social media if he didn't send him $500.
What is a sex act on yourself? Is that just beating on?
I assume he's
pulling really
up.
A sex act?
The person on the phone also sent a text message with the video confirming they weren't lying. What?
So it did exist.
Individual provided a location in the Philippines to send the money. How did he get the video? So he hacked his phone?
I guess.
This is going on?
I don't know. Or he sent it to someone. But why? How did it end up in the Philippines?
Man told police he had never sent the video to anyone, that he had changed all his passwords. What the?
Huh? Unless it wasn't really him. But then he's
confirming they weren't lying, it says, when they sent the text message with the video. Confirming they weren't lying.
So he was hacked. It's in Berkeley. It could have been me.
It could have been absolutely could have
like
been
that. Could have been me.
Damn.
I know. That's
kind of scary.
Yeah.
Get the outro, Brandon. We'll be here all day. There's so much. There's so.
Oh, I know. There's a great Strample story. There's a Michael Wolff book. There's the Hank Haney thing has gotten even more ridiculous today.
Well, Hank Haney suggested that someone named Lee would win this LPG event, suggesting it would be a Korean woman and a woman named... And then he was forced to apologize for how racially insensitive it was to say that, when actually he was saying that the Lees were great. Yeah. I mean, couldn't you say that? Couldn't you suggest that? Well, isn't he saying Korean golfers are really good?
Yeah. He knew a Korean would win, and most of them are named Lee. And the one that won went by six because she's the sixth Lee on the tour.
But her name was Lee. Yeah. So his prediction was correct.
Sure.
And he kind of got a little bolder once she won. He was apologizing during the weekend. And she was like, see, I told you.
So somebody asked Tiger Woods about it. And
Tiger's, you know, outraged, I heard.
Yeah. And do you want to hear Hank's response to it?
Sure.
Because he just posted this on Twitter. Amazing how Tiger Woods now has become the moral authority on issues pertaining to women. I spent six great years coaching Tiger, and not one time did he ever hear me utter one sexist or racist word. Now, in addition to being a 15-time major champion, I guess he's also a mind reader. Hashtag glass houses.
It's pretty ironic, honestly.
I just love that response.
I love Robert Snell's story, by the way. I'll give him a plug for the guy who embezzled money from his company to throw his wife this fancy schmancy 50th birthday party.
With Flo Rida.
And he books Flo Rida for $27,000. And you know that's an upcharge for playing a private party, so apparently Flo Rida's not booking for that much dough these days. Anyway, there's more. We'll see you with Trudy tomorrow. Enjoy the boner line on the Drew and Mike Show. Like us.
Hello, Dimples.
Long time listener, first time boner line caller.
Drew, are you crazy? A house in Ferndale, little shit house in Ferndale, does not go for $332. You'll be lucky if you get $120. $332, my asshole, brother.
Nobody likes your house anyway.
Enjoying listening to so much James Blunt today. That was pretty fun. Didn't see that coming in my day.
My life is brilliant.
Hey, you guys were talking about the death of that porn broad, August Ames. So this question is for Brandon, the Pornhub expert.
What are you, a fucking expert?
So isn't it wrong to pound off to a dead porn star? Just asking for a friend.
Thank you for that.
The U2 Chuck Berry mashup on the Friday show had me laughing so friggin' hard, I almost ran off the road.
Thank you to whoever decided to drop in Chuck Berry's Gas with that U2 song. I was sitting at my desk with tears in my eyes because I was laughing so hard.
I love this mix.
Yeah, this is the Chuck Berry mix. He actually played on this one, Trudy.
Hey, Drew. This is I'm in Durham, North Carolina. I want you to know that you're not the only one that suffers from the power outages.
Did you feel the electricity in the air?
I'm have a little bit of a rainstorm. I'm looking across the street and the power is on. My house is out. It happens all the time.
When the wind stops blowing, that's the end of your electric.
I hired this contractor to come in and do plumbing in my bathroom and replace the toilet. I let the contractor and his minions in, and then I had to go to work, so I left them there to do the job. The next morning, go out on my back covered porch and I see the toilet sitting there. Great, I gotta dispose of this thing. I go and open the lid and somebody left a coiled up 12-inch turd in my toilet. So I call the contractor. I'm like, hey, you guys left this toilet on my back porch. He goes, yeah, our policy is we don't take away parts that we replace or anything. I said, yeah, well, what's your policy? I'm leaving a turd in my toilet. And he says, oh, no, that wasn't me. And his excuse was, it must have been in there when they took the toilet out.
I love you guys. I listen every single day. But Drew, I have to tell you, you just used the word nincompoop on the podcast. That may be a first. I don't ever want to hear it again.
Why do you talk that way?
So to me, this is bigger than changing the tire. I want to congratulate Drew on going into a real life grocery store and buying fruit and other foods that aren't Dunkin' Donuts and aren't 7-Eleven and aren't getting food delivered. That's awesome, man. That's bigger than chasing the tire.
Oh, that stinks.
Separated at birth, that Copeland pastor weirdo
with Bill Clinton with his dry mouth and old Southern accent. It's disgusting, but they sound just alike.
You kind of caught me off guard here, okay?
I was really just having a little fun.
Hey, I gotta go. See ya.
Bye-bye.